You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
75 days, 12 hours, 59 minutes, 30 seconds, the most important election in world history. And then the real fun and games start with the 79 days of hell before the inauguration of President Trump. We are fighting not just for our own republic, but we're fighting for freedom around the world. If America fully falls to the new world order, then a new dark age of technocracy will descend like a black poisonous mist upon the earth. And if you think the horrors we witnessed have been terrible, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm your host, Alex Jones. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. I'm coming to you from our embattled studios in Austin, Texas, transmitting over so many different great systems worldwide, thanks to your incredible, dauntless spirit and support. Wow. We've got a big broadcast. We always do, but a big, big broadcast today. Roger Stone will be joining us in 30 minutes with massive breaking news and inside intel on what's happening with the election. RFK signaling again this morning on Fox, his VP, that he is going to be dropping out and endorsing Trump. I told you yesterday that I talked to multiple sources in the campaign, and he is scheduled to make the announcement Friday. Now, I saw him this morning saying that his schedule's all messed up because they're trying to take him off the ballot everywhere, and he's crisscrossing the nation, but reportedly, because they've taken him off the ballot in the battleground states, the Democrats have, he's been checkmated, so the best thing he can do now is throw his support behind Trump. But so he might do it Saturday, he might do it next Monday, but they've been told, be ready for him to get back to Los Angeles Friday sometime and to make the announcement. And I know the details of the announcement because that's just basically how I've learned of it, but I'm not going to give those out. I'm going to leave that for them. They may change it, but you will see. Unless he changes his mind, I don't make stuff up. Sometimes things don't go the way I've been told. Sometimes people change their minds. But we did break that news last night, and now RFK's VP, Nicole Sheehan, has doubled down on RFK, dropping out and endorsing Trump to form a sort of uniparty and defeat Harris-Waltz. And that was this morning. So they're getting out ahead of this, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, how many big stories do we have to break till people realize that we don't make stuff up? I make mistakes sometimes, very rarely. Big mistakes. I make big mistakes rarely. I make lots of little ones. Get dates wrong, you introduce people incorrectly. But I am, here's the difference between me and corporate media. I am really trying to tell you the truth. I'm really trying to get it right. That's what we are. Tomorrow's news today. We don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to be hated and mistrusted like the corporate media. We want to get it right because we all live together on this planet. I don't have anybody tell me what to do. I make the decisions around here. Alex Jones, the buck stops here. I'm in charge. I'm in command. And that's not like bragging. I'm in command. No, it's a very dangerous situation. With great power comes great responsibility, as Spider-Man likes to say. And boy, have I learned just how true that is. So I'm a lot more careful than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But I never, never consciously tried to lie to you, ever. Our currency is the truth. And our existence is here to serve God. And God is truth. Truth flows from God. And so I want to be aligned with God, as failed and fallen as I am. All right. Giant broadcast lined up today. A lot of surprises as well, a lot of breaking news. It's all coming up. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's out there. When you decide to tell folks about that local station you're listening to, spread the word. When you decide to share the links from Real Alex Jones on X or Infowars.com/show or Man.video, you change the world. And when you tell folks to share the link, tell them to tell the folks they tell to share the link. That's how it works. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. I am your battle-hardened host, at the center of the InfoWar, and you are at the center of the InfoWar when you tune in and you research and you share the links. You aren't just part of the fight. You are literally the eyes, the ears, the brain, the soul, the heart, the guts, the blood, the bones, the sinew, and the will of the people for a pro-human destiny and future. We are living in an epic time, in an epic moment. A great time of change is upon us. Evil intends, while the political, economic, spiritual system is malleable, to reform the planet in their God's image. We intend to have God work through us to form it in His image. This is the eternal battle that we are living through in all the spectacular reality around us. All right. Roger Stone's joining us at the bottom of the hour with a lot of breaking news and analysis and his response to the last two nights of the DNC gaslighting clown show and all the incredible clips that came out of it last night, and the RFK Jr. intel yesterday morning. His campaign had an event with the vice presidential candidate, Nicole Sheehan, and she said, "We're strongly looking at dropping out and fully endorsing Trump to stop the globalist uniparty." Well, I then made some phone calls, and then I got another phone call from another source very close inside the campaign, and they confirmed, the first source confirmed he is about to endorse Trump. The next source said it will be Friday in Los Angeles, and that they have assembled the TV crew and the production crew for his announcement, and that he's going to have some type of event. I would imagine it'll be his campaign staff, people that maybe an audience, studio audience, and at a lectern or something. I mean, I didn't ask the details of it, but these were folks involved in all of that. He may change the date. He does it. I mean, he's been changing a lot of stuff. His schedule's fluid, but that's a real thing. You can put it in the bank. And we broke that last night. Now we have this information. She went on Fox, and here's the headline: RFK's running mates suggest they may drop out. So they're getting you ready for this. Here it is.
It's Bobby's decision. I came into this supporting him wholeheartedly to win this election. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, there's only one party that has obstructed a fair election for us. And unfortunately, it was the Democratic Party. They've mm-hmm. done everything they can, including creating PACs to prevent us from being able to have ballot access.
Yeah, it's interesting because you were saying that you could stay in and run the yep. risk of Kamala Harris win, or you could walk and you could join forces with Donald Trump. When you say join forces, Nicole, what do you mean specifically?
Well, this idea of a unity party, an idea of us coming around these principles of fighting for liberty in this country, fighting for our children's health. We have the worst chronic health crisis mm-hmm. In the world right now. Over 50% of children are diagnosed with some chronic disease. This is unconscionable.
Yeah.
And we are willing to work with anyone who is sincere in their endeavor to fix and address this issue.
Do you believe the Trump campaign and Trump himself is sincere? Do you see a home? You talk about this as being Bobby's decision. Do you see a home for RFK Jr. in the Trump administration, Health and Human Services, something to that extent?
I would fully support it. I would fully support a strong partnership dedicated to this issue. A lot of people comment that in his first term, he didn't accomplish many of the things that that mothers really were hoping mm-hmm. he would do, made some big mistakes around the pandemic. However, I think that he is sincere.
Yeah,
I do.
And again, I'm teleprompter free. I was just saying earlier, I don't make a lot of big mistakes, but I make lots of little ones. I was calling her Nicole Sheehan. It's Shanahan. But that's why all the other hosts have teleprompters. I don't use those. I go off memory, and it gets some things wrong, so I apologize. Obviously, I know who Nicole Shanahan is and her interesting background with big tech and the rest of it. So there you have it. They're positioning for that. Trump said yesterday, in fact, get me that clip from last night. I'll play that in a moment. Trump said he would strongly consider him for a major cabinet position. Would it be Health and Human Services? Would it be Attorney General? Would it be the head of the NIH? Would it be the head of the EPA? Would it be the head of the FDA? I'm told that's all in play, and Roger Stone is coming up here in about 21 minutes from now to give his take on this and more. But while we're grabbing that Trump clip, where, again, he told the news that he would strongly consider doing that, let's play another reason Kennedy's made this decision. I don't think he's going to change his mind because people have been told the campaign this is happening Friday. They took him off the ballot in all the battleground states, totally legal, took him off in his home state, New York. And then Colbert and the rest of the media made fun of him and celebrated it and wouldn't give him Secret Service protection when they murdered his father and his uncle. So this is, again, the arrogance of the deep state, the Democrats, to not even be nice to him, at least on the surface. They just can't help themselves. So here's Colbert.
Junior here got some bad news yesterday when our New York Supreme Court judge ruled that he is disqualified from the New York ballot over falsifying his residence. Now, prosecutors, you're right. Prosecutors proved he actually lives in Los Angeles thanks to a federal statement of candidacy with a California address and a social media video in which Kennedy talks about training ravens at his Los Angeles home. Oh, foiled again! And he would have gotten away with it, too, if he wasn't the weirdest person on the planet. RFK Jr. claims this is just a misunderstanding, because he has considered New York his home since childhood and intended to return. That doesn't make it better. That's like a surgeon saying, "You're in good hands, Mr. Johnson. I intended to finish medical school." Now let's get stabbing. Anyway, this news sucks for him, but it is great for me.
That's basically all twisted lies. They make it look credible. Everybody's looked into it. He has a home in Los Angeles. He has a home in Massachusetts, and he has a home in New York, and it has been his designated home for most of his life. But that doesn't matter. You can be on the ballot, and he qualified to be on the ballot no matter where he lived. But because he has lawyers and people filling out all his forms, they can sit there and find one little thing they claim is wrong, then the Democrats can do whatever they want and commit massive crimes. So this is a big deal. I talked to Roger, who's the real political expert, this morning. He's coming on with us in a little while, and he agreed that this will probably add 6-7 points bare minimum to Trump, and they've got a margin of fraud of 6-12 points with the illegals and dead people voting in the databases. And so this, and we know Trump's already ahead, so this is just gave him even more of a lead that they've got to try to steal and knock down. Since I mentioned it, here's Trump being asked about this yesterday.
Can I ask you about RFK? Because just moments ago, his running mate said that they were considering endorsing you. Have you considered him for a role in the administration, and what role would that be?
Well, we haven't, but I would love that endorsement because I've always liked him.
Would you also consider putting him in the administration?
You're asking me a very unusual question. I haven't been asked that question yet. I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I probably would if something like that would happen.
Boom! That's the deal. And again, I'm not trying to put down RFK Jr., but a lot of high-level sources have pointed out that, and this happens with people's children, they want to be their own person. His son has been in special operations. His son has been working with the CIA. His son, of course, dated Taylor Swift, who was a CIA operation. And it was his son videotaped him a month ago talking to Trump about vaccines and Kennedy joining him. And that would be done because Trump hates leakers and doesn't trust leakers after what he went through in the first 4 years in office. And a lot of experts believe that was done strategically by his son to sabotage that. You can see he's got his back turned to him. He's turned to the side, and his son's there shooting video of it and then leaks it. And of course, they were leaked just the parts they thought would hurt Trump and Kennedy. So it's really sad to see that type of stuff going on. But if I was RFK Jr., I would keep his son at arm's length, who's also fought in Ukraine in the first days in the country. I told you U.S. troops have been there for 10, 11 years, but he's been fighting since the war started, officially 2.5 years ago. So not trying to attack RFK Jr.'s family. I just, that is treacherous, but I think Trump sees through it. And so this is a big deal. This is a godsend. We are very, very excited about that. All right, now, we're going to get back to that a little bit when Roger joins us. We've got some other big fish to fry as well. Victor Boot, the famous mercenary, as the media calls him, and businessman and confidant of Vladimir Putin, will be joining us in the third hour today. And he's also going to dial us in to some military folks on the front lines in Russia, in Kursk region, where now 14 days ago, NATO backed an invasion of Russia proper, the first time that's happened since the Germans invaded in Operation Barbarossa in 1942. We'll also talk about the attempted assassination of Trump with Victor Boot. And we'll also talk about Putin with this amnesty for people fleeing Satanism in the West and the pedophiles. And we'll also talk about all the other big issues that are unfolding with Victor Boot. And by the way, I mean, great job, the producers. Nobody gets Victor Boot. Nobody. Doesn't give interviews to anybody. He's a governor now in Russia. And the reason we get Victor Boot is he was in prison for over a decade here in the United States, extradited the United States, supposedly for arms dealing. And he was in prison and listened to me for over a decade on local AM stations. See, so people on X are like, why do you have breaks? Well, I know a lot of you are young, and I understand that, but there's a thing called talk radio, and Marconi invented it. What was it, 120-something years ago, or discovered it? And we're on over 300 radio stations still, and some TV and cable stations, quite a few. We don't promote them because people attack them and, you know, criticize them when we do, and the left does, but a lot of that harassment's actually backfired. The stations have gone from carrying us at night to prime time. In fact, most of the time, the stations, when they get threatened, double down and carry us more because they're conservatives and patriots, but they've gotten us knocked off some big stations. But that's the power of talk radio. He's in prison listening to this show 5 days a week. Guys, look up how long Victor Boot was in U.S. prison. I want to get the actual number. I think it was it 12 years? How many years? So my memory served. 10 years in prison, sentenced to 25, and exchanged in that prisoner swap for the pot-smoking NBA player. So that's what's going on. That is the exclusive that nobody else gets coming up. And I'll just leave it at that. Obviously, and I'm not in competition with Tucker. I love Tucker. He's the one that had the guts to go do it. If I went to Russia, I'd get the Putin interview too. But it is attractive. It is enticing. But I've said I'm not going to be taking the amnesty as a refugee from Satanism to Russia. I'm going to go down with a ship. But there's a lot of Christians, particularly in Europe, having their children taken en masse by the pedophile government. Literally 30,000 children just in one group stolen and given to pedophiles. That's mainstream news. DW.com, all of them. Or Spiegel, and it's getting worse also in the UK, Australia, around Europe, Canada. They give them to pedophiles. Nice gay couple, and it's literally known pedophiles that sell them for sex slavery. For those people that aren't political and are just trying to be Christian, you know, hey, the West is so bad, you may have to escape to Russia. That's not saying it's some panacea, but that's how serious the situation has gotten. But I am staying right here at the Alamo, and I'm never giving up, and I'm never backing down. I'm never giving in. But that is how dark the situation has gotten that we're having to talk about things like this. Now, it's a good thing we don't have a guest in the second hour, because I have more than 20 clips from last night's DNC, and I know a lot of you don't want to be subjected to this. We covered it Monday. We covered it Tuesday. It is the most horrible lying. It's like a tree full of parrots chirping the same lies over and over again. It's like being teleported for a visit to hell. But that said, that we do have some juicy clips, and they're just amazing. They're absolutely amazing, the level of lying. DNC crowd, cringeworthy chants, do something as they nominate a presidential candidate who's been in power for 4 years, and they've been in power for the majority of the last 20 years. There's another one. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. Think about that. And somehow it's still all Trump's fault. That's really the big talking point, because it's true. Meanwhile, Cardinal Kupich prays for peace and unity as the DNC while there's on-site abortion trucks killing babies. Can't make that up. We've got video of that. We're going to also be getting into a bunch of other clips that I've got here. Obama says Trump's got a weird obsession with the size of crowds, pretending it's something about Trump's pee-pee. Meanwhile, Democrats have to bring rappers to their events to fill seats. But just think about what a disingenuous statement that is. We're going to play it. Do grocery stores, are they into crowds? Are football games into crowds? Are colleges into crowds? Are dental offices into crowds? Are movie theaters into crowds? Are restaurants into crowds? Because they have trouble getting big crowds. They had to pay people to go to their event in Chicago. They have a war chest, you know, it's just ginormous. But again, talk about gaslighting. He's into the size of crowds. Well, yeah, he owns golf courses and hotels and everything else. When you're actually into success, you're into crowds. Like, oh, why are there ratings for movies? Why are there ratings for TV shows? Why do they say top grossing box office this week or top rated radio show? Or, oh my gosh, there was 1 million people at the Indy 500. Why even have anybody? I mean, that is so weird of Trump. He really is weird. I mean, it's not like drag queen story time or, you know, anything like that, or having devil worshiping events at the Olympics. No, that's all normal. But if you're into crowds, that is freaking weird. I've never heard anything that weird. I mean, like, so what? He was on with Elon Musk 2 Mondays ago and got over 1 billion views and listens. So what? It's the biggest interview ever in history. I mean, big deal. Biggest interview in history. I mean, I thought I was doing good in one Joe Rogan interview, had 100 million views. I thought my Elon Musk interview with 50 million was big. Man, I thought Tucker Carlson's 300 million with Putin was big. But that's actually bad, folks. When you've got 1 billion views, you're a loser. When Kamala has a live stream and has 3,000 people on it, that's the type of crowd you want. You understand? In fact, since I'm on that, let's play the Obama clip. Obama, Trump's got a weird... I was getting this next hour, but let's start getting to some now before Roger gets on. Trump's got a weird obsession with crowd size. Here it is.
This weird obsession with crowd sizes.
Oh, if you're a radio listener, you didn't see it. He, like, holds his hands down by his crotch and does a penis measurement size. Look, we all know Big Mike's got a 2-foot-long ding-dong. I'm sure Trump doesn't probably have, you know, a rhinoceros penis. We understand. That's what you get in bed with every night. We got it, buddy. You're the one obsessed with big penises, obviously, Obama. You're the one that ordered $56,000 of hot dogs delivered to your birthday party when we know that's code word for male prostitutes. So you're the hot dog connoisseur, not Trump. Yep. It's Big Mike. Big Mike. Big Mike. Every morning at the mine, you'd see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulders and narrow at the hip. Everybody knew he didn't give Big Mike no lip. Big Mike. Big Mike. Nobody knew where Big Mike came from. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. If he said much to Big Mike, he just said hi. He's Big Mike. You know, they say he got in a fight over a Cajun queen in New Orleans. Yep. I've got to actually get the lyrics from that because I'm going from memory and then rewrite it for Big Mike. In fact, today, I'm going to get in the studio, and I'm going to rewrite Jimmy Dean's Big John. I'm going to get it right, because just me joking around last night was viral on Instagram and Twitter, millions of views, you know, all this other stuff. We're going to do an official ode to Jimmy Dean and Big John, Big Mike. I'm going to rewrite it. I'm going to nail it. We're going to get it done. Oh, boy. Okay, I got more of those. There's so many of these. Again, I have over 20 of these bad boys. The biggest ones are, we've got horrible inflation. The economy's totally screwed. It's all Trump's fault. You've been in power for almost 4 years, you damn liars. All right, I'm going to break. Remember, you are the reason we're on air. You're the reason people tune in. You get past the censors. You share the links. You share the articles. Keep doing it. You're just as important as I am or more. In fact, in the aggregate, you're way more important than me. And remember, we need support. We have the highest quality water filters at the lowest prices at InfoWarsStore.com. The highest quality storable food at the lowest prices you're going to find at InfoWarsStore.com. Books, films, T-shirts. We have the InfoWars MD line with incredible 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. We've got the ashwagandha. We've got all of the CBD, super concentrate, high-end, very strong at a low price in the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And part of the InfoWars MD line is also Nitric Boost, so be sure and check that out. Prostate Support, Nerve Renew, Joint Relief Max, great natural pain reliever. It's all there. Ashwagandha gummies, full spectrum CBD, both gummies and liquid. Ashwagandha with black pepper. CBD full spectrum, ageless Vitality Collagen, Mushroom Max, so good for your brain and overall immune system. Better Mood, Libido RX. Superfood Greens, amazing products. Turmeric 95, CBD Full Spectrum Liquid. InfoWars, MD, and Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Back in stock, 25% off. 40% off. 1,000 milligram organic vitamin C with rose hips and zinc. Linus Pauling Formula. It's all there. Massive discounts. InfoWarsStore.com. And then finally, don't forget our great sponsor, my dad's company, helping keep us on air, DrJonesNaturals.com. All of the super high-quality patented nano silver immune gargle and wound gel and nano silver toothpaste, super blue, all of it. And Next Level Foundational Energy is not a stimulant, but it has no letdown, but it is a stimulant because it's just not a technical one because it cleans out your cells. You feel it in 30 minutes. Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Roger Stone coming up. Stay with us, my friends. Truth is stranger than fiction, and it's certainly way more exciting and exhilarating. Anybody that's bored right now, not just here but around the world, must have their head in the sand or have a lobotomy. It's insane what's going on. But my big takeaway last night was the continued blaming Trump for the economy, and we're going to get you out of this, and we're going to fix it, when they've been in control for almost 4 years and tried to block Trump's agenda for the 4 years he was in. But even CNN said this a lot last night, that it's really hard to convince people that they haven't been the ones in charge. Here it is.
In all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years, and for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years, who is supposed to already be working on solving it? But
and they said this over and over again last night, do something, do something. And we're going to stop the evil that's happening. And we're going to have all this love and joy when they're the ones creating almost all the fear. Here's just a short clip of the lemmings, the paid lemmings, like trained seals clapping for their fish. Let's go to Roger Stone. Roger, so much to unpack. Let's get first your take on the last few nights, and then let's get into the real poll numbers versus these classic fraud polls. We can look at the methodology they're putting out, Trump strategy, where this is going, and then the big development. And of course, since I talked to you or told you about this last night, we now have his VP, Nicole Shanahan, coming out and doubling down on Fox and saying, no, they want to work with somebody that actually cares and is real and is authentic, saying they are looking to drop out and join Trump. Trump saying he would definitely consider RFK Jr. for a cabinet position or major position. So we'll hit that secondarily, but I still think that's really a big deal. Roger.
Well, Alex, what were those people chanting? Do something? Exactly. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been running the government for the last 3.5+ years, yet they're trying to pull this massive psyop on the American people with the assistance, of course, of the mainstream media that somehow the cost of gasoline today is Donald Trump's fault. The epic inflation that's killing the buying power of the dollar, that's Donald Trump's fault. The fact that we're on the precipice of not one, but maybe two world wars, or at least in two theaters, that's somehow Donald Trump's fault. The fact that there is no affordable housing, whether you want to buy a house or whether you just want to rent housing, not available. Somehow these are all Donald Trump's fault. I think that will be very difficult to pull off because voters vote based on things that affect their everyday life, not esoteric theories. What I see here is an attempt to duplicate Obama's 2008 campaign, which is basically to create a vibe and make it cool, but without ever getting into the substance. And to the extent that Kamala Harris has laid out actual plans, wage and price controls, seizing American companies. I mean, this is Marxism. It didn't work for Richard Nixon when he tried wage and price controls. It won't work now. Combine that with her new pledge to crack down and seal the border, as if she hasn't been in charge of the border in this administration. And then she come up with this brilliant idea. Alex, she wants to end the tax on tips. I mean, this is really pathetic. I don't think they can sell it to the American people.
Well, that's well said, Roger. I can ask you 1,000 questions, but you're one of the leading political experts in the world right now. Everybody knows that. So where do you want to go next?
Well, the important thing to recognize is we keep saying that there's 75 days before the election. That's actually not true because early voting starts in Pennsylvania, a pivotal state, as early as September 16th. So time is very, very short. I think the Trump campaign is moving very aggressively now. So I saw one of their best and most hard-hitting ads last night that's running in all the swing states, as well as running during some of the DNC programming, which makes the point that Kamala Harris is part of the team that gave you the current economy. She says over and over again, Bidenomics is working. No, Bidenomics are not working. In fact, the achievement they point to the most, job creation, they had to go back and correct the numbers. They had to bring that number down by 818,000 jobs that they initially claimed had been created, which in reality, most of them were part-time jobs, were not created. So, look, I think it's important that the Trump campaign do what they're doing, which is aggressively move to define her. She is a person who wanted to defund the police. She is an individual who wanted to decriminalize the illegal crossing of a border. She wants U.S. taxpayers to foot the bill for health care for the 20-plus illegals who are in the country. She wants to ban private health insurance. I mean, this is the reality. They're selling fluff. They're selling imagery. She's historic. She's exciting. I think it's a very, very tough sell. You made reference, Alex, to the polling. There's several different pieces of this psyop, but I think the honeymoon is coming to an end. So what they do is they oversample Democrats in a number of these polls to jigger the numbers and make it appear like she's had some kind of surge. It's really completely phony. Not all polls, of course, are alike. But when you combine that with their new claim that they've raised almost $1 billion the vast majority of which came in through Act Blue and looked suspiciously to me and many other researchers like James O'Keefe as laundered money. These are all props. These are all parts of egg agate prop, as we used to call it. It is a giant attempted hoax on the American people. Doesn't appear to be working. Trump is actually now beginning to move ahead in a number of the key polls that I do trust. The odds makers in Las Vegas, who we both know are virtually never wrong, now moving him several points ahead in terms of his likeliness to win the election. So I must tell you, Alex, I got a private briefing yesterday on a number of the Trump campaign's activities in terms of evangelical Christians, in terms of Black Americans, in terms of Hispanic Americans. There's a lot going on here at the grassroots that is really first rate in terms of the organization and the focus and the targeting. I'm still bullish that this will be a very tight election, a very close election, but I still think Trump is on target to win.
Roger. Looking at the desperation in the faces and the fear in Obama's face that I saw last night, I think you probably saw the same thing. They already tried to kill Trump. That's the real sign they know that despite all their fraud, he has such a edge, if we all go out and vote and get others to vote, that it'll overwhelm them. That's a whole area of research, but it's well known for those that don't know that you can overpower the dead people voting, people out of district, and you know the certain districts where they create ballots that are too small. They got caught in Houston doing it, Phoenix doing it, other areas. They just indicted the Democrat that was doing that 2 weeks ago in Houston, caught doing it, disappearing the ballots, or creating ballots that were too small. It's standard scams. There's not enough of that baked in if Trump wins by how many points would you say, a dead reckoning? And then if you add RFK to that, then let's talk about that and segue into that.
Well, look, the whole notion that we need to turn out Trump voters to make it too big to rig is certainly one of the key parts of victory. We do absolutely need every single vote. Just give you an example. In 2016, evangelical Christian turnout was about 78%, and they went almost 90-10, 85% for Trump. That had dropped in 2020 to only 63%. Perhaps it was complacence, perhaps it was COVID, perhaps it was a belief that Trump was going to win, but we cannot let that repeat itself. We need to turn out every single voter that we can locate. It's still time to register in a number of states. It's amazing the number of people who recognize me in public, come up to me and tell me they're for Trump, and they wish me and my family the best, and they're praying for their country and Trump. And I say, "Oh, you are registered to vote." And they say, "Well, you know, I didn't vote last time, last two times. I'm not even sure I'm registered." No, folks, it is vitally important that everyone register and vote. There are people in your circle, people in your family, people among your friends who believe as you do, but are not registered and not planning to vote. And it's up to each and every one of us to do something about that. Now, you add the question of RFK, which I think is crucial. You have an incredible exclusive in which you have reported that he is planning to drop from the race and endorse Trump. This would be very powerful. This would be very additive. It's a fair statement to say that if you analyze the votes that RFK is getting today, you can't really do it nationally. You have to do it on a state-by-state basis. In some states, let's take New Jersey and New York. New Jersey, where they have, I think, unfairly knocked him off the ballot, but he's appealing that. New Jersey, where the courts rejected the attempts to take him off the ballot. In those two states, he actually polls disproportionately from Kamala Harris. On the other hand, Trump is unlikely, based on history, to win either one of those states anyway. In some of the key states, the swing states, it now appears like he won't be on the ballot in any of them, not through any fault of his own, but because the Democrat machine has moved very aggressively through the court systems and through the electoral boards to knock him off the ballot. So perhaps, and I have no particular knowledge of this, but perhaps He has decided that, look, there is no path to victory for him. He is someone who I think believes deeply in the country. I agree with him on some issues, disagree with him on others. But I think on balance, he realizes the authoritarianism that a Harris-Waltz election would bring the country. And I hope your report is right. I pray that your report is right. I think it would be a powerful combination, would bring a lot of independents, a lot of new people, and obviously some disaffected Democrats into the fold for Donald Trump.
Why are the left, Colbert and all of them, I mean, they just attacked the living snot out of RFK Jr. Biden didn't give him any Secret Service protection when his father and uncle were murdered in front of the world. And then to rub his nose into all of it, didn't they know this would drive him into the arms of Trump and deliver Trump 5, 6, 7, 8 additional points? I mean, they're so arrogant, as smart as they think they are.
Well, I mean, first they drove him from the Democrat nominating process. I mean, think about that. He's a Kennedy. His father was murdered while running for president. His uncle was murdered while serving as president. He's a proud Democrat, but they wouldn't even let him compete. So they rigged the rules so that he couldn't run in the Iowa caucuses. They essentially canceled the New Hampshire primary because New Hampshire's next to Massachusetts, which is where the Kennedy dynasty comes from. They made it impossible for him to compete as a Democrat when they probably could have just snuffed him the way they did Bernie Sanders. Then he went the independent route, which I always thought was logistically, financially, and politically probably not viable. Extraordinarily difficult to get on the ballot, extraordinarily difficult to get covered. This has been one of his main complaints. Network, television, mainstream media, they pretend like he doesn't exist. They didn't do that to Ross Perot, but they've done it to Robert Kennedy.
And Roger, just interrupt and finish your point. Just to re-quantify this, how big a deal is it if he, which he says he's doing, and now their campaign is saying, and the VP is saying that they're getting ready to do this. How do you think Trump and us should capitalize on that? How should Kennedy be brought in to campaign with Trump, to be a surrogate campaigner? How do we maximize this?
He has an enormous amount of energy. He is a very effective campaigner. Sure, you want him out on the stump explaining to his supporters and others who may have been attracted to his candidacy why he is doing this. I think first of all, to answer your question more precisely, if you are correct, it would be massive. It would be huge. It really does change the race. I pray that you are right about this. And I think he can help Trump in many ways. But he does have a buzz out there. He does have his group, the support he does have for himself. While it's still nationally in single digits, he does somewhat better among younger voters. I do think they will follow him. I do think they respect him. I think just as Tulsi Gabbard joining the Trump campaign, the Trump effort, is seismic. That is a huge development. It's not that Donald Trump needs coaching on how to debate. Believe me, he knows how to debate. That's not where he needs the help. But where she can be of huge assistance to him is she knows Kamala Harris. She knows all of her little tricks. She's vanquished her in a debate. She's very familiar with her record. And in that sense, I think that she can be of great help to Trump in the debate preparation to the extent that he prepares. He doesn't do, the traditional politician's debate preparation where somebody plays Kamala Harris and somebody poses as reporters. And
that's my next question. Do you think Kamala will even do a debate? She's refused the Fox debate while claiming Trump's chicken.
Yeah, first of all, I've known Donald Trump for 45 years. Let me tell you something. He's not afraid of anything or anybody. So that's a ludicrous claim. I can see why she would want to avoid debates. I don't think she can stitch together a coherent sentence without a teleprompter. It is that bad. The other thing I really want to see, Alex, in all honesty, is a J.D. Vance Tim Walz debate. I mean, get me the popcorn. This will be a classic because it really would be a contrast between two completely different political philosophies. I think J.D. Vance is underrated as Trump's running mate. I think his moment in this race is going to come. His defining moment is going to come, which will prove that he was, in fact, the right choice. I really want to see both of these debates. I think that with Obama moving his top operatives into the Kamala Harris campaign to try to take control of it, you're going to have some friction there, but they have to be thinking about how she can dodge debates because the debates are fraught with peril for her. Trump is a championship debater. He proved in the debate with Biden that he can be disciplined, that he can be focused. He didn't take the bait, even though in his few lucid moments during the debate, Biden tried to bait him. That was a triumphant debate. He was not good. He was excellent.
And I totally agree. And I think as bad as Biden is, Kamala will be worse. That's why I actually don't think she'll debate. I mean, she showed up twice in the last two nights for a minute and a half each time and reads off a teleprompter just to say a few words and looked like a deer in the headlights.
But we've seen this before in American politics. Just her refusal to debate can become an issue in itself. The American people want to feel like they know the person who's going to be president, that they have some feel for what they're like. She hasn't been in the public eye enough to create a positive impression. In fact, she had the lowest approval rating of any vice president in recent American history. The most recent ratings for her showed that her approval rating was 2 points lower than Spiro Agnew on the eve of his resignation for corruption. So this idea that she's surging, that she's beloved, that she's a savior, nobody is going to buy that. They need to get comfortable with her to even vote for her. And I just don't think that they can take that risk. It will be risking everything in a very close race. Now, let me be clear. This was always going to be a close race. There was never any chance that this was going to be a landslide or a blowout, even against Joe Biden. That's because the mainstream media covering for Biden as they were, suddenly they stopped doing that as soon as Obama wanted to get rid of him. Now they're covering for her and for Walz. It's amazing. I continue to see these stories saying that claims that Walz is guilty of stolen valor, that he claimed to serve in combat when he didn't. Those we're told are debunked. They're not debunked at all. They're completely factual. Just the mainstream media refuses to report accurately on that. So this race, given the mainstream media preference in blocking for them, plus the massive censorship that still goes on in the internet. Sure, X, formerly known as Twitter, is now much, much better.
It's a beachhead.
It's a beachhead. It's a sea change. But Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all places I'm banned, by the way,
Google.
For life. They are still influential.
So we've all got to fight, as Trump said. So in closing, black swans, October surprises, what do you think the enemy's got up their sleeve?
My greatest fear, of course, is that Joe Biden doesn't fill out his term, that they either force him out under the 25th Amendment, which they already, I think, threatened to do to get him out of the race. But look, I pray for his safety, too. I'm not trying to wish this into existence. I'm not hoping anything like this happens. But if she were to be elevated to the presidency in order to enhance her candidacy, that can only happen if Joe Biden is somehow yet again shunted out of the way. It's a horrific thing to consider. But look, I wrote a book on the assassination of President Kennedy and the government's involvement in that.
You're an expert.
Working on the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan and the government's involvement of that. And I have deep questions about what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. Every day there are new questions.
That's where I was going next. I mean, total, complete stand down. Secret Service deputy head, now the head, ran the stand down. And Trump security, they're complaining about more security at Mar-a-Lago, the local, Democrats are. What do we do to protect Trump?
Well, first of all, it might be a good idea if the state, if the Homeland Security, the FBI, the Secret Service, the state police, and the local police all got on the same radio frequency when he appears, so they could actually talk to each other. That would be a good start. Prayer. Prayer is our strongest tool right now. It's the strongest tool in our arsenal. People say, "Oh, that's quaint. That's how quaint, how old-fashioned." No, my friends, I've experienced in my own life, prayer works. Prayer is more powerful than anything else. Pray for the safety of our president and for the success of our country. Alex, there's nothing more important.
Roger, how do people find you? StoneZone.com?
StoneZone.com is the best place to go. You can also find us at Rumble, at the Stone Zone, at Roger Stone. Rumble.com/Roger Stone every day at 8 p.m.
We got 1 minute left. You talked to the big guy quite a bit. How's he doing? He looks better than he looked in 2016. I mean, he looks in ways younger, stronger, lost weight, has a new level of confidence. If that's possible, it's kind of scary.
Look, I think this is the aftermath of his attempted assassination. I think he recognizes that he's been spared for a purpose. I think he's quite grateful for it. But there's a new calmness about him, a new certainty, a new confidence. He's in great, great shape, and he's about to make political history with the greatest comeback in American presidential politics. I'm continue to be confident, despite the fact that I think it's going to be very tight and very closely fought, and we have to watch them at all points. But I'm still feeling very good about the Trump campaign and about America.
Keep the head on a swivel. Thank you, Roger Stone. Great job.
Thank you, Alex. God bless you.
Hour number two straight ahead. Stay with us. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen, on this Wednesday, August 21st, 2024 transmission. And I'm your host, Alex Jones. All right, let's get the phone system fired up. And I'm going to take calls this hour specifically on the DNC and what we saw last night and play some of the disgusting clips from it. I'm going to intersperse that with a lot of other important news and information. Victor Boot, confidant of Putin, governor in Russia, former political prisoner here in the United States, famous soldier and military company owner. He will be joining us. He's kind of the Russian Eric Prince. He'll be joining us exclusively. Nobody gets this interview. Coming up in the third hour, 59 minutes from now. So that is all coming up. And I'm going to do my best here to maintain my composure right now. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that enrages me. What's killing our country and our world is lack of straight communication. And it's because we do so many connections to the internet and to social media and little knick-knacky things that people then can't differentiate what the serious things are versus the things that aren't serious. And people get caught in the minutia modern life. I mean, people 100 years ago made, there's estimates, maybe 5% of the decisions a day we make, but the decisions they made were important. So things were slower then. Things are so sped up now, you've got to pull back and say, what are the priorities? And look at those priorities and then deal with those priorities. So I'm going to turn the phone system on, and I'm going to give out the toll-free number for first-time callers who were watching the DNC last night and your takeaways of that. You're also welcome to call in about anything with the election, but that's the topic area I'd like to cover, so please humor me or I see it on the board. I'm not going to go to you. RFK Jr. is, from sources high up, going to drop out, I was told, Friday. And, of course, then you see his VP, Nicole Shanahan, come on Fox News this morning and say, yeah, they're probably going to do that. So that is a big deal. How do you think we capitalize on that? I'd say he's got I mean, what I've seen on the street around the country, like 20% support. People are like, no, I like Trump, but not as much as RFK. I'm going for him. Or I don't like the Democrats. I'm going for RFK, but I don't like Trump. The numbers are 6 to 12%, depending on the poll where he's at. That is just so game-changing. That's basically the margin of fraud the bad guys have. So you add that in there, it is game-changer if he can mobilize the people. I mean, if I was Trump, I would run ads with him and Tulsi Gabbard together with Trump saying, this is not your Democratic Party of the past. This is an evil globalist group. It's done this to you. They've been in power for, what is it, 12 of the last 16 years? What's more than that? I mean, it's just absolutely stunning that all of this is happening. Yeah, it's 12 of the last 16 years. Meanwhile, Obama's making penis-sized jokes about Trump because Trump is bragging about the size of his crowds. I'm trying to say that doesn't matter. So we've got a very important Greg Reese report when we come back, just a few minutes long, and then we will give the toll-free number out, take your calls, ahead of Victor Boot joining us.
Russia is now officially offering safe haven for people trying to escape the anti-human agenda of modern-day liberalism. Foreign nationals are now able to apply for temporary residence in Russia based on the rejection of their country's policies, such as the destructive neoliberal ideals, which run counter to traditional Russian spiritual and moral values. Under this new immigration option, certain requirements will be waived. Applicants will not have to prove knowledge of the Russian language, its history, or its laws. The Russian Foreign Ministry has been instructed to start issuing three-month visas to such applicants as early as next month. In a recent interview with American journalist Charles Bausman in Moscow, it was discussed how many Russian Orthodox Christians believe an exodus to Russia is prophecy.
How did it turn out that this country, Russia, controls this enormous landmass, yeah? But it's only about 140 million people, and it's definitely not enough. You need like a billion people, really, to fill this large of a country, and it has the resources to support that kind of a population. And one of the things that some Christians say is, well, this is actually God's will, that he left this giant country relatively empty, with the idea that it would then be filled by people from all over the world who would come here and seek protection from the craziness that's happening, that seems to be taking over the West.
Tucker Carlson recently asked Russian philosopher Alexander Dugin why he thinks the West is on the road to ruin.
I think that everything started with individualism. When you identify individualism with the man, with the human nature, you cut all the relations to everything else. So individual, it was the key and is still key concept that was put in the center of liberal ideology. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was only liberalism. There were only two collective identities to liberate from, liberation from gender, and that has led to transgenders, to LGBT, and new form of sexual individualism. So sex is something optional. And the last step that is not yet totally made is liberation from human identity, humanity optional. So you can choose your individual identity to be human, not to be human. And that has a name, transhumanism, posthumanism, to have the possibility to choose to be or not to be human. So classical liberalism was in favor of democracy, democracy understood as the power of majority, of consensus, of individual freedom that should be combined somehow with the freedom of other. And now we have totally the next station already, next phase, new liberalism. Now you are invited to liberate yourself from individuality. It is your duty to be progressive. It is prescription. So liberalism fought during its history against any kind of prescription. And now either be progressive liberal or you are done.
How do you explain this phenomenon I have noticed where for over 70 years, a group of people in the West and the United States, liberals, effectively defended the Soviet system and Stalinism, and many personally participated in Stalinism. But in the year 2000, leadership of this country changed and Russia became their main enemy. Why the change?
I think that they have discovered, they have identified in Putin precisely what Putin is. So he is a kind of leader, political leader, defending traditional values. This hatred is not just casual, something casual or some mood. It is not.
It's not casual. It's very serious.
It's metaphysical.
Progressivism is the antithesis of traditional human values. The further one progresses on that path, the less human they become. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're well into hour number two of this Wednesday edition, August 21st, transmission of the Alex Jones Show. And I'm going to open the phones up right now on campaign 2024. What black swans will the deep state launch? What did you think of the last two nights of the DNC if you were able to stomach it? I've been watching all of it. It is sheer torture. I'm about to say BS. And we need to talk about it and talk about what insane liars they are. But really, the strongest point against them is they keep blaming Trump and this evil right-wing conspiracy for the economy not being good when they've been in charge for almost 4 years. So we're going to be discussing that. RFK Jr. set to endorse Trump. People are like, really, 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 really? Your sources said that? Yeah, and then his VP came out and said they're basically going to do it on Fox this morning. So this is a big deal. This is very, very positive. But how will the deep state respond to that? The toll-free number to join us for first-time callers and first-time callers today. We did everybody yesterday. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. There it is on screen, 877-789-2539. And we will get you up and on the air, 877-789-ALEX. Okay, there are so many of these. Another big takeaway is them claiming that we don't have the luxury of cheating others to get further ahead. We don't get to change the rules, so we always win. That's Big Mike. That's Michelle Obama. That's all the Democrats have done is try to take Trump off the ballot and disqualify him and change all their rules so they can install Biden and then block the primaries from anybody else being on it, and then remove him in a coup, and then install Kamala. I mean, this is dangerous stuff they're doing out in the open. This is a cult. 877-789-2539. That's a huge area to discuss. Election 2024 with only 76 days and counting until that fateful day. Wow, you can, again, cut the suspense, ladies and gentlemen, with a butter knife. Now, I also want to get into a lot of other news here. Excess deaths in Australia correlated to COVID vaccine uptake in a major prestigious study. And they just had a Harvard UK study come out and say all new excess heart problems in children is from the shot. I mean, these are mega, mega developments. And of course, there's thousands of these studies now. So just remember, it was the deep state pushed this, the Democrats that tried to make people take it. Trump wrongfully got behind it, but got off the bandwagon pretty quick. That's the one fly in the ointment, but it is what it is. But you know, with the Democrats, they're coming with more forced injections, more lockdowns. Obama has said it. Hochul has said it. Biden has said it. Kamala has said it. All their surrogates have said it, like Hotez, and they're saying it over in the UK with their prime minister. They're saying it in Germany. Remember, whatever you're seeing in Germany or France or Australia or New Zealand or the Netherlands or Sweden for that matter, they are trying to bring, or Italy, they're bringing all of this over here. So when you see something happening, people over there, that's the same globalists doing that. They're in all the countries. They're trying to control all the governments. As Klaus Schwab said, we penetrates the cabinets. So let me play a few of these clips, and let's just play these back to back. This is Obama. Trump got a weird obsession with the size of crowds. It's very short. He's, if you're a radio listener, you don't see him making, you know, hand sizes like it's, he's got a bigger ding dong. Then we've got Michelle Obama. We don't have the luxury of cheating others to get further ahead. We don't get to change the rules as so we always win. I mean, this is exactly what they're doing. Cardinal of Chicago prays for peace and unity at the DNC while on-site abortions and vasectomies are taking place. But they're actually killing babies like a Moloch sacrifice in mobile trucks there. Just over the top, out of control, absolute abject evil. But before we play this clip, think about what Obama is saying. It's weird to think that the size of the crowd means something. Does the size of a crowd mean something? When you pull into a town you don't know, and better than, you know, Yelp reviews is, does a restaurant have the parking lot full? You'll see three or four restaurants, and one's got a few cars, one's half full, one's totally full. You drive by to see the totally full one to see if there's a big line, and you still go, well, there's 10 people, but I bet that food's a lot better. So you go wait 30 minutes to get a seat because you want to see what it's all about. You trust the knowledge of the crowd, people that were already there. You don't go to the place that's got three cars or four cars in the parking lot, unless you want food poisoning. So they're trying to tell you, don't believe your eyes with the big Trump crowds. Don't believe what you hear on the street. Just go with us. Let's play those clips back to back. Here they are.
Weird obsession with crowd sizes.
We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. No.
Please stand if you are able for this evening's invocation offered by Cardinal Blaise Joseph Supich, Archbishop of Chicago.
So the cardinal gets up there all solemnly.
Let us pray.
And then prays while in the building they're cutting babies up.
We praise you, O God of all creation.
They might as well just kill one on the altar right there.
In us a resolve to protect your handiwork. You are the source of every blessing that graces our lives and our nation.
All right, enough of this blasphemy. Let's skip to what CNN of all places had to say, telling the truth.
In all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years, who is supposed to already be working on solving it? But
That's a really good point. And everybody's making that on the streets. Trump's making that point. That's really where we've got them. We've got them a lot of places, obviously, but that's really where you got them. And I watched basically the whole thing last night. I was on air for 2 hours of it. The crew did a great job. Bacos did a great job. Harrison Smith and Chase Geyser and others. We're going to have Maria Z in tonight with us as well. Coverage will start at 7 p.m. Central with some recorded programming we're shooting, and then we'll start doing live coverage. But it is like, it's worse than watching paint dry. I want to shift gears out of that for one other big story, and then I'm going to go right to your phone calls. Elijah, Kevin, Rich, Bill, Mac, Tim, Jack, Keaton, and Joe here today. We're very honored to have your calls. And when Victor Boot joins us in 40 minutes, I'll get to all the calls on the board before he joins us. We'll be talking about this. It came out yesterday in the New York Times that Biden ordered an aggressive stance, made the DEFCON go up in March to prepare for a strategic attack on Russia, China, and North Korea all at the same time and for full nuclear war. So that's another reason not to support the leftist regime and the globalist regime, because they want full war with Russia. They've said they want that. So here's my short report I shot last night. We'll go right to your calls. The New York Times is now reporting that in March of this year, Joe Biden ordered the Pentagon to prepare, to target, to war game a simultaneous nuclear war with Russia, China, and North Korea. In a New York Times article published today, titled, Biden Approves Secret Nuclear Strategy, Refocusing on China Threat. And in the article, they report on a secret national security memorandum to the Pentagon, ordering the Pentagon to prepare for simultaneous nuclear war with China, Russia, and North Korea. Now, if this actually happens, which we're closer than ever with Ukrainian-backed NATO forces going into Russia proper, or if China goes into Taiwan and nuclear weapons start getting used, every analyst out there, from the Rand Corporation to the Pentagon, document in almost every war game, 97% chance that once tactical nukes get used, within a matter of hours or days maximum, it escalates to theater weapons and then strategic nuclear weapons. So we're talking about the doomsday clock being the closest it's ever been to midnight with the International Atomic Scientist Organization. They say we're the closest we've ever been to nuclear war. And here's the deal. We've had nuclear weapons since the mid-40s. Russia's had them since the 50s. China's had them since the 60s. And now many, many, many nations have them. But in all the war games, once you start using them, everybody is destroyed. That's where the term MAD comes from, mutually assured destruction. So we've survived for close to 80 years with nuclear weapons, only seeing them used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and those were tiny weapons compared to what the weapons do today. To give you an idea, the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki are the equivalent of a head of a pin, if it was on the screen, compared to the weapons they've got now that have a blast radius this large, the size of a large medicine ball or beach ball. And there's graphs online. There's a Rand Corporation graphs that show this. Tiny little bitty explosion destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki compared to the weapons that are in the different arsenals today. China tested the largest above ground weapon ever that was several thousand times bigger than the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with. And we've had NATO starting the war 11 years ago in Ukraine, pushing Russia to escalate 2.5 years ago. And now this total insanity is unfolding with Biden and his controllers saying that he has created peace in the world when they have created the complete opposite. We need President Trump now more than ever to have detente and to make deals and de-escalate, which he did when he was president. We need him to bring in RFK Jr. into his administration as well. We need to bring the world back from the brink of thermonuclear war. And the reason the globalists want nuclear war and believe it's going to be survivable is the global debt bubble's coming to an end, and they don't want to be blamed for the giant fraud they've created. They need a global crisis to bring in the Great Reset and their planetary cashless society. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be covering all of this tonight during the DNC live coverage at Infowars.com/show and on X at Real Alex Jones. But this is serious, serious business, ladies and gentlemen. You'll also find the report linked under right here on X at Real Alex Jones. Thank you for watching. Pray for peace. Now let's take peaceful political action to take our nations and our world back from these psychotic globalists. And coming up, Victor Boot will be discussing all this with me. This is breaking news, and I want to write your calls. Attorney General of Texas Ken Paxton's Criminal Investigation Division executes search warrants in Frio, Atascocico, and Bexar counties in ongoing election integrity investigation. They just arrested a senior Democrat a few weeks ago in Houston, running a bunch of scams. So this is going down. All right, let's go ahead and go to Elijah in Tennessee. Elijah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
It's an honor to speak with you, and I wanted to talk about the election, make some other points. I really believe, and like you say, we always have to look at the danger we're facing and realize, you know, what kind of trouble we're in. The truth is we're in a lot of trouble as a country with all the different things going on with the looming plot to steal the election. But I believe, you know, I believe that we're made for this moment. And just as the end of the Civil War brought about an empire, so to speak, out of the ashes of the Republic, I believe that we're going to have that type of period of division and war, but out of it is going to come the fall of the empire and the rise of the Republic, like our founding fathers had originally intended. You know, I mean, it's nothing short of a miracle is going to get us to the other side, but, you know, we have to remember General Washington went outside of camp to pray in the bushes every night. And it was nothing short of a miracle that saved Washington's army in 1776. The fog that just miraculously came to cover the retreat of the Patriots were outgunned when they were outnumbered, when they were at their wits' end. But God was with us, and he is with us. I believe that he's going to take us to the other side, and we're going to win this.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you if Christians stand for the right thing. The problem is they put satanic idols in the courthouses and the capitals. They kill babies in the building while they're having their event with a fake Catholic leader up there. So they're doing their satanic rituals openly to drive God's spirit out of our land and lower the hedge of protection. Elijah, thank you so much for the call. Great points. All right, we're going to go to break. I'm going to move quick to Kevin and everybody else in the order. Your calls are received when we return. And I'm very humbled to be your host. I'm very thankful to be your host. I'm very humbled that the crew is working so hard. Great job with the crew, working 18 hours a day. And hopefully we get enough funds to get more crew and continue on and stay on air. But that's up to you. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Got a big sale going on right now. And so many other great products like Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and the 1,000 milligram or vitamin C combo. It's got a bunch of incredible ingredients in it. The Vitamin Mineral Fusion selling out. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for funding us while getting great products at the same time. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back with more of your calls. All right, let's move quickly through your phone calls. Kevin in Maryland, thanks for holding her on the air worldwide.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call, Alex. Very nice to speak with you. I did just want to just comment real quick on the DNC. I don't have cable television, but I was able to see enough clips, I think. And, you know, to be honest, one of the biggest takeaways I have, not just from the laughable speakers and, you know, the normal lies, but everyone chanting, do something, right? Everyone chanting, do something. Well, I think, you know, it's no surprise to anybody that the Democrats have had long enough to do something, right? And the hypocrisy of it all is the fact that the one man that actually did something and has done something over the last 12 plus years is the very person that they claim to hate, the very person that they claim to be running against. And the hypocrisy of that, and I'm really speaking to those individuals, you know, Alex, you talk about all the time that, you know, there's thousands of new listeners that tune into the show every single day. And I'm speaking to new listeners. I'm speaking to, you know, folks that may have been at that DNC or watching the DNC from home and questioning where they want to go or how they want to vote. Just think about that. You have, you know, small number of people, way less than what they tell you, chanting do something. Well, isn't that what we've all been thinking over the last 4 years? Is waiting for somebody to do something? And the only person that is willing to do anything and has done anything is Donald Trump. And you know, I live in Frederick, Maryland, which is very close to Fort Detrick. You know, it's an area that should have way more patriotism. It's an area that should be, you know, a lot stronger in, you know, just moral beliefs and everything. And it's not. It is an absolute liberal, you know what hole. And, you know, it amazes me that, you know, the hypocrisy and you know, the same thing that what they chant last night and what they're saying at the DNC, you know, it's the same thing of what people believe around here, at least in the city. But you go outside the city and, you know, people know what it is. People know what's going on. It just amazes me, though, that, you know, they can actually have a program like that and have for several nights. And I understand they have to run and they have to do what they have to do. But, you know, the lies, you know, I think we've all been through enough over the last 4 years. And I think we've seen enough to know that, you know, they've had enough time to do something. And I think we would all appreciate, take that anger and take that frustration and take it to the voting box and don't vote for the people that haven't done anything, that are responsible for that anger and that frustration. I think we all feel it to a degree. You know, I know this broadcast does. I know we all do within our own homes, within our own lives, within our own professions. You know, those of us that have children, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and, you know, I know I'm speaking to the masses here when I say this, but we're not just fighting, you know, typical everyday stresses and challenges. We're fighting the establishment. We're fighting these agendas that they're trying to push in the schools with our kids. I mean, there's just so many things.
Absolutely. You can't have a bunch of happy-feely stuff from Obama and from Big Mike about unity and all this love when they're the ones creating the division and they're the ones literally aborting babies in the building while they're speaking and they're the ones dissolving the border and human trafficking and all of it. Great points, but I got to move the next person to get to everybody. Tim in Michigan. Tim, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Just to let you know, I watch every night and been buying the merch to support the show. So thank you for everything.
Thank you.
I'm in Michigan, and I just want to comment that I can't really see how Kamala is going to be the main nominee for the Democrats unless they just plan to use all the corruption and fraud to cheat, you know, because they're trying with the AI manipulated photos. And because even with like the Whitmer election, Tudor Dixon destroyed her. And yet, you know, there was the fraud there too. So
Tulsi Gabbard destroyed her in the debate. She popped out Monday and Tuesday night for a minute and a half each time, read up a teleprompter, looked like a deer in the headlights, and then ran back, you know, into her hole.
Yeah, so, you know, do you think, are they going to try to undermine and switch Kamala out at some point after the DNC, or do you think they're going to just try to ram her through with the fraud?
You know, I'm not sure what they're going to pull, and I don't think they're sure. They're all jockeying around and fighting amongst themselves, but anything, they can do anything because they just keep removing and installing people and setting the incredibly dangerous precedents and trying to take Trump off the ballot and trying to kill him. I mean, they're just running wild. We have a rogue bureaucracy working for foreign banks that are Chi-Com agents and double agents and, you know, EU agents and Israeli agents, and America is just wide open.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing, too, that prayer, we need Jesus Christ, because my dad was on the death protocols in the hospital, and luckily he survived. I didn't know about it back then. I wasn't watching you, but now I've been, and we witnessed a literal miracle by praying to Jesus Christ, and he will save.
Absolutely. Praise Jesus. All right. Thank you, Tim. Rich in New Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. How you doing? I just want to thank you immensely. Before I make two short, quick points, I just want to thank you immensely for being a voice of sanity in this insane world. It's incredible what you're doing. Number one, as far as nuclear war, I've had dreams my whole life, actually vivid dreams of nuclear destruction, which made me wake up in horror. I've also had dreams, vivid dreams of being raptured up in the air, which is like incredible, okay? Beyond that, it makes me realize more and more how this thing is so real. And I find myself sometimes crying for my daughter that just graduated college and is becoming a teacher in September in a few weeks. And it makes me so upset that this is so real and the enormity of it. It's like people are walking in blindness of the enemy. That's all I could say about that. My second point real quickly is, do you think Trump is playing possum in these rallies because he knows about the deep state? It's what we talk about, what we listen to you about every single day on InfoWars. And is he playing possum, or is he just not aware? Or what do you think? What's your opinion? What do you think's going through his strategy with these rallies? Thank you.
You're talking about Trump?
Yes.
How are you saying he's playing possum?
Well, I'm saying all the things like, what is assassination attempt? It's like, he's a smart dude. You know what I mean? This guy's been around. He's been around the block a few times. You know what I mean? He has spoken about the
assassination. He's thanked God for saving him every time. And he has talked about how they stood down. But he needs to go further and directly say, I know you did it, and don't try it again.
That's my point. Why isn't he going for the jugular, or is he playing possum, making people like, I know what you're doing,
Trump,
I'm just playing stupid?
You know, I can't tell you how Trump's brain works, but he's a tough guy, and he doesn't want to look weak by, he's uses his whining, if I had to guess, but he also thinks some people won't think that the deep state did it, so he doesn't want to be presumptive, and I think that's a mistake. Thanks for the call. Jack in Louisiana, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, thanks. I'm just calling in because recently, you know, I don't know if you noticed, a lot of Twitter accounts just all of a sudden got. Am I coming through? Can you hear me?
Yeah, everybody always asks if I can hear them. I sure can, man.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, sorry. but let me finish what I was saying. Sorry, my bad. What I was saying is that, you know, Elon Musk, all of a sudden, all these accounts got marked as spam, and it's right before the 2024 election. I feel like he's almost censoring us, all these small accounts. You know, if you're Justin Bieber or somebody, your account's not going to get messed with. But somebody like me who's trying to build and trying to, like, spread truth and all that, it's impossible to work with that.
Well, I mean, I can barely keep track of my own X account. Clearly, I get throttled some. That's a big complex issue. There's a lot of Democrat Party groups that go out and flag accounts. Over and over again, we know they've been flagging my account to try to suppress it. There's a lot of different techniques they use. And then the smaller accounts get flagged a bunch, and a lot of X is automated. He fired 80% of the employees. And I know that he's got the best platform other than Rumble or smaller, you know, InfoWars in the aggregate. So I don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but definitely Naomi Wolf, last time I checked, had somebody trick her to give them her login information, and they shut her out and kicked her out of her account. And then last time I checked, it's been a few days, she couldn't get any service to get it fixed. So, yeah, I think we should hold Elon's feet to the fire. I just can't definitively tell you what is actually going on. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sort of. I just, you know, I'm really calling in to make it a stink. You know, I know Elon probably watches the show, and I really want him to see that it's hurting small people, because I actually had a friend who posted videos, and they immediately got taken down. And he couldn't figure out why. And this is like stuff that he put a lot of work into. And he could have just turned around and deleted it off of his computer for all he, you know, and it got lost for forever.
All right, and I hear you. I'm sorry that's happening. And we need to make the internet open and free again and great again. But I don't mind you calling in. I appreciate your call. And you're welcome to call back and say the same thing again. We are here fighting the big tech takeover. And compared to Google and Facebook and all the rest of it, you know, Elon's doing a great job, but certainly there's room for improvement. And I've seen it, in my opinion, the service getting better, it being expanded, but certainly there are a lot of issues. So thank you. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks very much, and I appreciate what you do. What do you think the chances are you're going to hear the name Jesus at the DNC in a prayer?
I think it's about zero.
Exactly. And another thing I want to mention was, you saw Biden talking about the assault weapons and how he got angry and shouty and saying, Good God, man, we're killing children. What's wrong with us? We need to ban these things. At the very moment he's saying that, they're literally performing abortions at his party's event. How bizarre is this? How sick is this? And I was talking to Kevin, or one of the previous callers, talked about how, you know, we all need to recognize how awful these people are. And a lot of us do, but I have a friend that runs a restaurant. Three people come in, big Trump supporters, came in today after watching last night and said, oh, no, what are we going to do? Everything's looking so good for the Democrats. They're concerned about what they were seeing. He was bright enough, my friend who runs the restaurant, to say, you know, to talk him back and say, look, these polls are lying. This is all make-believe. None of this is real. But a lot of people don't understand the theater that they're watching is really...
No, I totally agree. So let's unpack what you're saying. Don't hang up. I want you to be able to finish up here, Bill. But I've seen, and we play the clips, the stuff we can show, but they're basically having pedophile parades. I don't call them gay pride parades. At the DNC, there are women with, like, I had an abortion, I love abortion, dressed up like abortion pills. They've got signs about I killed my baby. They've got people, you know, basically half naked running around the streets. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is in stage country or empire. This is what you always see historically before total collapse, just like we saw in Germany right before the Great Depression and many other areas around the world. And so, yeah, this is late stage decadence and pre-collapse or the beginning of the collapse. But J.D. Vance has done a good job. So has Trump. They need to do a better job of coming out with the methodology of these polls, which we've done, and showing that they really are frauds. And now with RFK joining and bringing at least low level six more points in, Trump is going to win if we just go out and vote. It will override their system unless they launch a war or a cyber attack or something or release some real virus, you know, in the next few weeks. They're in deep trouble. That's why they tried to kill Trump. They know they're going to lose, so they're going to try again. So excellent points. Anything else, Bill?
Just one last thing. You talked about the collapse and the depression. I think what we're seeing right now is the collapse of any faith. And it was generational for our grandparents who went through the depression. They never again trusted banks. They used the mattresses. They found ways around banks. They did not trust the economic structures for decades.
And that was very healthy. That was very healthy.
It was healthy. And I think what you're going to see this way, and this is, again, healthy for those of us that look at a state that has overblown itself, is the trust in things like the CDC, the FBI, the DOJ, the EPA, you name the organization, has got to be at an all-time low and never to return, because when it does, it always destroys us. We have to allow this to resonate, that these agencies that have gone so rogue and so corrupt can never be resuscitated. Look, God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing. I've got a lot of your products. I'll continue, and I do support you.
Well, Bill, please don't thank me. Without you, we're not on the air. I want to thank each and every person that's bought products and prayed for the show and shared the links and called in. You are the reason we're here. Understand, you're not the tail. You're not the head. You're not the legs. You're not the guts, the bones, the blood, the eyes, the brain. You're the whole dog. And if you don't decide to hunt, we fail. I'm getting chills right now. And the crew putting up with me. Because I'll go through cycles being really nice for a few months, then suddenly I get in this, I don't really, you know, have a cycle like a woman, but I think I got like a 3-month cycle or something. I'm in demon mode right now, and I'm trying not to be because I'm just so pissed. And that's why I am not going to be here tonight. It's going to be Marizzi and Chase Geyser and the crew. I just, for mental health, I cannot watch it tonight. And then I'll be back tomorrow night. But I just made the decision last night when I left, and I got home at midnight. I said, I can't do this. So I'm being honest that for my mental health, I can't look at these people right now. I mean, they can just put them on screen and I get pissed off. I mean, they're absolute criminals that have hijacked the country, tried to kill Trump, to dissolve the border. They're mass human trafficking. Imagine if you saw some guy that had kidnapped and murdered a kid and now he ran for mayor and he's the mayor and he brags about what he did. You'd get pissed looking at him. These people are mass murderers. Keaton in Arizona. Talk about a battleground state. Keaton, thanks for calling. What about the DNC, the election, and Trump? Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Hey, first I just wanted to thank you so much. It was actually your monologues about God that converted me back to Jesus Christ, and I'm now a catechumen in the Orthodox Church like your son, and I just want to thank you so much And I pray that one day you'll be an Orthodox priest, because I can definitely see that. And,
well, I'm non-denominational. I was raised Southern Baptist, and also went to a lot of evangelical churches, and I also went to some Methodist churches with my dad's mom. But my son does have friends that he lifts weights with that are in the Orthodox Church. He loves it. He's always been a Christian, but he goes to church a lot, and he loves it. And so, and I think the Orthodox Church is great. It's the oldest church in the world, so I'm proud of Rex. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Alex. So one thing that I think is so interesting about the DNC and the RNC is the complete contrast. But the RNC, it was quite peaceful. It was quite a unifying message. You had a police presence there, but it wasn't to protect the politicians from their own...
they're making people show IDs and all this stuff to even get near the place, and they have a wall around it, but they don't want people to have an ID to get in the country on an airplane unless they're a citizen. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, you're so right, and I think it's literally insane, because obviously I'm voting for Trump, but if you were just to look at this so subjectively, it is so obvious on its face that the Democrats are the party of violence. They try to say that we're the party of violence. We're not. They just tried to kill Trump, and I cannot believe the rhetoric that they're saying. And I can't believe Obama making such an inappropriate joke about Trump when they just tried to kill him. And now's Obama's opportunity to help unify the country. But he's just like Jamie Raskin, inflaming the horrible tensions in this country. And I really do believe that President Trump is our second George Washington. And we are in the second American Revolution. And I think we also have to be very wary of Klaus Schwab, because I think we have forgotten about him.
And absolutely. He's still in control of the WEF. He just stepped down as the spokesperson because he's so hated. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Let's talk to Mac in Oregon. Mac, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, great honor, man. I take your supplements every day.
Thank you. Have been
for the last year. Love them. I also want to thank you. Probably the most important is helping me find God again, man, because that is such a critical thing to have. And during these times. But yeah, with the DNC, man, it's like nails on a chalkboard watching these guys. Not only do they lie to your face, but they don't even offer any policy-based, they don't make policy-based speeches at all. They're not running on anything. And what scares me is that half of the population, apparently, in this country, they don't even understand that these people are in power right now. They are in control of the executive branch, yet they're running against Trump somehow. I mean, it's just, it's very scary. You know, I have a lot of people tell me, oh, you just, you know, he's into politics. He pays too much attention to it. And it's like, it's our duty, man, to try to explain to these people that you're on a sinking ship, man, and you've got to get real. You've got to understand.
They've got to get out of their learned helplessness, their normalcy bias, their Stockholm syndrome. They've got to get out of they've got to understand it's not Trump or us that did this. It's the globalists.
Exactly. Exactly. And, like, what more can we do, you know? I mean, I have a bunch of liberal friends, live in Portland. They're coming around. So just speaking to people.
Hey, that's what I'm seeing. Most of the liberals I know for 20, 30, 40 years have been awake for 5 or 6 now and are really pissed off. So that's what I'm seeing on the ground, folks. The Democrats are a dying party. All they have is control of the election machines in their cities. That's why they're so criminal, because they know that their back's against the wall.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Anyway, yeah, I'm praying for you and InfoWars, and just God bless, brother. Thank
God
you so
bless
much.
You. Thank you so much. And it's very heartening to hear the callers calling in and saying they support us. If you're most of the listeners never buy anything, just it's great products. It's high quality books, films, supplements, water filtration, air filtration, InfoWarsStore.com. Big discounts right now. Go there, InfoWarsStore.com, or our great sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, that again has all the nano silver patented highest quality colloidal silver, 30 parts per million, silver bullet, the fluoride free organic with all these great essential oils like tea tree and peppermint and iodine. It's so good for your mouth and teeth and gums. With the nano silver, the super blue, the turmeric toothpaste. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. The next level foundational energy that, again, is not a stimulant, but has a stimulant effect with no letdown. With the methyl folate and other compounds that do incredible things to clean out your cells. Next level foundational energy, the Kaba Chill, the Top Brain, the Rocket Rest, the Shroom Force, all of it at drjonesnaturals.com. drjonesnaturals.com. All right, let's go to Eric in Texas, then Jordan and Amanda in the first five. And then we got Victor Boot on us. This is going to be huge. Victor Boot will be joining us. Nobody gets this interview. Eric in Texas, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm born and raised in Austin, Texas. I'm a 24-year listener. I believe I seen your video when you refused the thumbprint scanner there at the TxDOT. They put you in jail.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That was pretty cool. I grow award-winning CBD here in Texas. I've been, like I said, as far as the DNC goes last night.
Well, tell us about your company first. Your CBD is so good for everybody. It's the THC's taken out. It does miracles for folks. Tell us about your company.
Yes, sir. It's a non-psychoactive flower, which CBD has CBD receptors, CBD1, CBD2. It's in line with our human anatomy that has our receptors in our bodies. So depending on the type of flower or the type of CBD or how much you ingest would actually benefits our neurology system, helps us relax. Helps us with our anxiety, some pain, depending on the stress.
Absolutely. I mean, I was saying, tell us about your company.
Yeah. My name is Eric Organics. That goes by Organics Hemp Farm, right out of Austin, Texas. I'd like to get with you and Joe Rogan one day down at the Ritz or something. I can show you what I have. I've won an award here in Texas.
That's beautiful. Give us your website.
The only way you can get in contact with me would be Instagram or ERRGANIX Hemp Farm.
That's beautiful. All right, you only got a minute and a half left. What do you want to say about the DNC?
Well, I think we've seen the green screen in the back, and I don't think it was fully crowded like that. And I also believe it was an invite only. So everyone had to show up.
Like, oh, they admit ball. It was invite only.
Yes. Okay. Well, it kind of looked that way. And Big Mike, you can see the chest, the teleprompters, and we all know that we can all tell visually tell it's not as big as they assume it is. You know.
I wouldn't put anything past them. They've been caught doing it before.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I've been following you since 2020, 24 years, and I've watched everything you've done. And I'm on board, man, with everything. I used to buy your tangerine. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, cool, man. Your water filter, I have. Got your cartridges.
Well, Eric, we're out of time. You made some great points. I'm going to check out your company because I love Texas companies. I love entrepreneurs. Thank you so much, brother. All right. Hour number three, I'm going to jam in Jordan and Amanda in the next five-minute segment, and then Victor Boot, legendary Russian, joins us. He's also a governor. We'll be right back. We're into hour number three on the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. Victor Boot is going to be joining us coming up when some stations join us in about 5 minutes. Huge guest, very hard to get. We're very honored to have him. But let's finish up with Jordan in Florida. And with Amanda in South Carolina, and then that'll be it for calls. Jordan in Florida, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. We are living in the Great Awakening, as you said, man. If you noticed yesterday, Elon Musk posted that poll on Twitter asking people who they're going to vote for, Trump or Kamala. And I checked about an hour ago, and about 74% Trump, 26% Kamala. So I think people are really waking up, man. They're seeing the lies at the DNC being spoke, the blasphemy, mocking.
By the way, I didn't see that poll, but I saw it in the news. How did the poll close out? How many voted?
So I believe 5 hours are left.
as it stands right now, Alex, but it's Trump 74% and 26% Kamala.
Yeah, we found it. So it's 5,272,693 votes. Trump gets 73.6, and Kamala, the laughing hyena, gets 26.4.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show, man, people are waking up.
Well, brother, I wanted you to be able to finish up, but your phone cut out. Thanks. Great point, though. I'm glad you got in. Amanda in South Carolina, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hi, hon.
Hey.
I wanted to suggest that Trump strongly consider RFK for FDA. And what do you think about that?
Little Bird told me that they've actually been secretly talking. That's how I know that RFK is going to drop out in the next few days and endorse Trump. But he's being considered for FDA. He's being considered for Attorney General. He's being considered for EPA, NIH, you name it.
All right. And I'm mostly excited that, you know, don't worry about not being able to watch that DNC. I ain't able to either. It just makes me sick to my stomach because they're acting like they're not scared. And they're panicked, and I love it that they're scrambling.
They certainly are scrambling. What do you think of them blaming Trump for the bad economy when he hadn't even been in power for 4 years?
Well, that's just the way the devil does. He lies about things.
What's your prediction for the election?
I think they're going to try to put us into World War III.
Well, they've already got a good start on it with Ukraine, with NATO backing now invading Russia 14 days ago. Totally insane. You also, honey, wanted to mention RFK Jr. dropping out. What's your take on that?
I think that it's a good idea that he drop out. And that's just going to help Trump a lot.
I certainly think it will. What are folks saying in South Carolina? Are you seeing more support from Trump than you saw 4 years ago?
It's about the same. Everybody has always supported him and been very loud about it.
Well, that's what I'm seeing. They're going to have big trouble stealing this election. Anything else, Amanda?
I just wanted to please don't forget about that song, Big John. I love that. That's awesome. Don't forget about doing that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Amanda. And we're going to go to break here in about a minute. And we are going to come back with a very special guest to talk about all these huge issues. The attempted assassination of Trump. He's a military man and expert. And give us his take on that, the Russian perspective. He can talk about the invasion of Kursk 14 days ago by NATO. And he can also speak to the danger of nuclear war. And also Putin's big announcement and decree of amnesty for people that want to escape the satanic pedophile left in the West. That's a serious thing. In Europe and here as well, they're taking people's children, Christian children, literally handing it over to pedophiles. That's why Putin, 15 years ago or so, banned Russian children being adopted to the West. We're going to go to break. Stay with us. Victor Boot in 60 seconds. Well, there's Victor Boot after 10 years in a federal prison as a political prisoner. He's basically the Eric Prince of the Russians. Famous soldier and businessman and confidant to a lot of the top people in the government. And he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's been very gracious to join us. He came on for over an hour a few months ago. We've got about 50 minutes with him today. And we could not have a better guest on, except maybe Putin, to give us the real take of the Russian mind and where the world is today. And so I want to cover the Kursk invasion, but that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. I believe he has an expert, a friend of his he wants to come on, who's in Kursk, there in Western Russia on the border with Ukraine that's been invaded. We'll cover that at the bottom of the hour, coming up here in about 25 minutes. I want to talk about the situation where Putin has signed a decree for shelter and for refugees from the insane persecution that the left is carrying out against Christians and other people's traditional values. Russia to build migrant village for conservative American expats. I mean, this is getting really, really serious. And also want to get his take on the attempted assassination of Trump 40-plus days ago and Russians watching what's happening in America. I know he and others have predicted a civil war in this country. Now, the left is saying they want to trigger a civil war. Jamie Raskin and other top commissars of the globalist And those are just some of the topics I want to cover with him. So Victor, thank you for joining us. Let's first, and then anything you want to say, just jump in and say it, because these are just my questions. You're going to have the floor here. But I'd like to start with just what you've witnessed, because you were in America for 10 years in a jail cell. For folks that don't know, you were able to hear me on some local stations for those years. That's how you got to know me. And then, just to fill in the folks that didn't see the last interview, and so you have an American perspective and also a Russian perspective that gives you a really very important overall view. Give us the Russian view of what you see happening in America. Trump being grazed by the bullet, by the grace of God, the other bullets missing, killing one man and wounding two others. Do you think the deep state will try again? What is your military, business, Russian-American understanding? Because I'd say you're pretty much American, 10 years in American prison. View on the world, and what do you think Putin's view is?
Well, it was hi, Alex. First of all, greetings with a love from Russia, who is now in the front line fighting for future of all humanity. And what's going on, it's really, maybe we are blessed to see how finally we're coming to this final stages of this global fight, of the geopolitical shifting, which last time happened maybe 100 years ago. And this is very important to put our focus and not to be distracted of really goes on. First of all, as you said, assassination attempt of the Trump. You know, last year in May, when I tried to send him a telegram warning him that, you know, his life in danger, because it was obvious. The deep state will never let Trump, protect interest of American people, because what he's talking about, hey, let's get away with this satanic cabal, let's go back and restore America, let's go back and just clean up the house, let's put finally the border protection, let's kick out all the illegal immigrants. And let's, first of all, focus on all issue America has to take care before they're going to spend taxpayers' money on unnecessary wars everywhere else. Look how much American people have a problem with the budget. It's what now? $36 trillion in debt?
I think it's up over a trillion now. I think it's 37, approaching 38.
38. I mean, it's easy to lose the count because every day is like what? Every hour, like 4 billion and so on. So it's a huge. And what is the end game? End game, it's not only to destroy the world, but also destroy the America, destroy you people, first of all. This is an issue in hand. And what's going on now with this assassination attempt with Trump? This is a clear sign. Look, they missed again by grace of God. And look how the Secret Service dropped the ball. And this was like an unbelievable thing for a professional organization like a Secret Service. I would never buy this, that they would let this shooter climb on this wall. And they knew about this. They've got like, what, 100 warnings. And they did absolutely nothing. So eventually somebody was giving them order to stand out. This is an issue. Why? And this is a very simple answer. Because the deep state knows that if Trump runs, he wins. Yes, Democrat Party tried to switch the horses in the last moment. And Kamala Harris, we know who he is and what kind of the leader he gonna be. But for our perspective, they're just trying to replace one stooge with another stooge. And this is why. For deep state, it's easy. Then they're going to blame any you know, this to say, hey, this is the president. What we have to do with this? Okay, dump him, and then we're going to bring another one who will take all the blame. But with seriously, as a planet, as all humanity in a danger, and we need to do something about this satanic cult who is now trying to instigate several wars in the Middle East. Now they try to do this incursion, invade Russian region of Kursk, where majority of these invading forces have been, first of all, mercenaries, including the American private military company, including many German, Polish, Romanian soldiers, and the best equipment they supplied to them. Plus, look what's going on about Israel, Palestine, and the Iran. And look, they are still preparing for this huge conflict with China. I don't know how they're going to manage this all, but I guess we need to now unite our efforts, first of all, to impede, to stop the global elite from doing more damage, or, and most important, to prevent a global nuclear conflict.
Now, for those that don't know, and we'll segue into this more as we go, why don't you, with your amazing military and business background, for Americans that don't understand this, most of them do, give us a snapshot of what's happened the last 12 years, the destabilization program by NATO, them lying about wanting to get Ukraine to join NATO. Now they admit they want to bring it into NATO. And then now what's really happened the last 2.5 years in the special military operation and this desperate gambit to send this NATO-backed force with mercenaries into Russia in the Kursk area, and really what's happening there from your sources right now. And then, as you've elaborated, I know, the danger of nuclear war that could clearly, obviously, come out of this.
Well, as you're right, look, starting from this coup which happened in 2014 in Ukraine, Russia was warning, hey, you know, guys, take it easy. We will not let Ukraine join to NATO. And this is why. Because if NATO would deploy their interceptors in the Kharkov region, then they can, you know, get majority of our ICBM in case of. And this was a really security threat. Think of this. If Russia would deploy, ICBM interceptors, I'm not talking even about Cuba, let's say on the Mexico. Let's say if, for instance, as we discussed last time, Texas gets independent and then decided to join alliance with Russia and with China. What, guys, you going to do? It's obvious and clear. But despite of this, in 2015, when the Ukrainians decided to go against their own population in Donbass, yes, it was a Russian-speaking region, who said, hey, guys, you know, we want to keep right to use of our own language, which is the Russia, and keep traditional ties with the Russia. But instead of discussing it peacefully and have a settlement, because the guys didn't ask, you know, special privileges or complete independence, they asked for normal right to live and to speak their native language. And this was a 90% majority in that population, in that area. Despite of this, they decided, let's go with the armed forces and, you know, just kill these people who are so-called separatists. So what the people in Donbass did, they grabbed the arms, because this is was a miners region, and, you know, miners are very tough people. So they resisted, and they beat them up. So then the Russia and Mr. Putin intervened, and they made a Minsk agreement in 2015, where they supposed make changes in Ukrainian constitution, bring this autonomy to this region, and have a peaceful relation. But guess what? The West used this time between 2015 till 2022 just to amass more arms to Ukraine, train the army, and build the fortification line, which is unheard of from World War II. And if you will see what the kind of fortification line they built, how much your taxpayers' money they put in concrete just to reinforce them and to say they will never lose these lines, they've been planning attacks. So Russia has no other choice than to start this special military operation in February 2022 to stop that killing of the population of Donbass. And they are our family.
Absolutely, Mr. Boot. And to just interrupt, because of the time, you're making excellent points here, and it's all true. Moving forward now, since the last 2.5 years, what is the real state of Ukraine? What is the real state of the Russian military? And what does this 14-day invasion, the first time Russia's been invaded in its homeland or motherland since Operation Barbarossa by Hitler in 1942, what does that signify? And then what do you think the Ukrainians and NATO are trying to elicit from the Russians versus what the Russians are doing?
Look, what their plan was is to make surprise attack on the area where there was no military activities. Their main target was to capture a nuclear station in the city Kurchatov, and then make a blackmail and try to then do the territory exchange or threaten to blow up nuclear reactor on the Kursk or do something else. And this plan was long in the making, especially with the British Secret Service. They amassed significant amount, around 20,000 elite forces have been very well, equipped, especially with the all recent supplies from America, from Canada, from US, with the Leopard tank, with the all kind of the APCs and all the equipment.
And those so Polish battle tanks are really good too, right?
Yeah, they've got all these protected armored vehicles. They've got all the equipment for the soldiers, and they just focused on the very, narrow direction where they decided, okay, this was an old cross point. And for the reason, because of agreement, when the Russia withdrew its forces from the Kyiv area and from Sumy area, when they've been negotiating in the April of the 2022 a peace agreement in Istanbul, which was screwed up by the Johnson of Britain, Boris Johnson of Britain, they removed these forces and they said, okay, there is a front line from Donbas area up to the Kherson area. But in this area, we withdrew this time and the Ukrainians keep that, They did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov, but was no incident there because look, now the front line is over 1,200 kilometers. So this was understanding, okay, you're fighting there. The Ukrainians last year tried to do a huge offensive aiming to go into the Crimea to cut up this terrestrial corridor on the Zaporozhye region and Kherson region to Crimea, but they failed. And they announced it, they amount a lot of money, they've got a lot of finance. I'm sure that the big part of it was embezzled by the clique of the Zelensky in Kyiv. Still, they not succeeded to move even for the 10 kilometers, okay? What happened 2 weeks ago? They start entering to the area, so they bomb the couple district towns, and they captured an area and decided to do the propaganda. But again, it's exactly what happened during the World War II, and they've been acting like a Nazi. Can you imagine that the Ukrainian soldiers would put Nazi cast of the World War II with the signs of SS on it and talk to the one of the older Russian men on the street saying, hey, Russian Ivan, come here, what you doing? Trying to mimic a German accent. And this we cannot tolerate. A part of this, despite of all efforts they put, they fail. They fail to move. They've been, stopped into the. They only can advance for a couple thousand kilometers into area. Now the Russia pulls some forces, but guess what? If they try first of all to capture a nuclear station in Kursk, they fail. And they've been thinking they by doing this, the Russia would be forced to remove their forces from Donbas area, where recently, every day, the Ukrainians just withdrawing their forces and letting their position. They are losing a lot of ground every day in Donbas area.
So Victor, Mr. Boot, what do you expect? What was their aim? Just a propaganda victory? And then how long do you think they can stay there as they're being encircled? And what do you expect them to do next?
Well, first of all, Zelensky desperate. It's actually agony of it. For him, he need to do some propaganda trick, because right now America busy with election. Nobody pay attention, okay, what's going on, because everybody's sick and tired from Ukraine. In United States, in Europe, it become a huge problem, a burden. And all these politicians, despite their rhetoric, they don't know how to get rid of it. Because it costs too much money, there is no result in the side, and everybody understands Ukraine has no chances to win. So for Zelensky, instead of putting this reinforcement to the most critical area in Donbass, he decided to do this, you know, stance into the Kursk region.
So you're saying it's a pure stunt, and they basically admit it's a stunt, and Jack Posobiec 6 months ago predicted the Ukrainians would launch ground offensive into Russia as a desperate stunt. What about the biggest nuclear reactor in the world that's in Ukraine that the Russians have controlled? They've admitted that Ukraine's attacked it dozens of times. They also tried to attack it and caught it on fire, endangering a new Chernobyl. The Ukrainians did last week and tried to blame Putin again. Speak to that. And then they also last week had to admit that it was Ukraine taking the cover for NATO. We know it was really NATO that attacked the Nord Stream 2. Can you speak to that, Victor Boot?
Yes, of course, because now, you know, it became obvious. All the truth are coming, you know, just in front of our eyes, including the Nord Stream pipeline to the Germans. And Germans has now, you know, decision what they're going to do. They're going to eat this. And again, admit, yes, we just been, you know, committing economical suicide. In the one hand, Ukraine tried to attack many times the Zaporozhye nuclear power plant, which is now under Russian control on Russian territory. Basically, because the population in the last year of that Zaporozhye region wanted like 90% of population to be with Russia. And this was a fairly done referendum according to any standard. Okay? So, despite of this international nuclear agency who had their inspectors on the side, but every time something happened, they said, yes, nuclear power plant in Asia, it was attacked. But they never mentioned who is attacking. Can you believe that? And providing to NATO, to Ukrainian, a intelligence information, which they've been easy to aim what they need to aim on this nuclear plant. Thanks to God that nuclear plant was built according to the Soviet standard. It can be spent reactor itself, a lot of the heat of the direct nuclear, you know, heat on it. But at the same time, what they're going to do, they try to make and explore the storage of the used fuel, which is make contamination. And the problem in that area, the wind unpredictable. So if they're thinking the wind will blow only to Russia, guess what? They can easily reach Germany and even...
Well, Mr. Boot, isn't it obvious, you're as smart as I am or smarter, they've already tried to blame Russia each time they attacked it, just like when they blew up the Nord Stream, they blame Russia. They're trying to blow it up and blame Russia. They've said Russia's blowing up it's the plant it controls, which would be a disaster, well, PR-wise, plus mass murder. Putin would never do that. So this is a real crime against humanity, what Zelensky's doing, attacking that plant.
That's absolutely, but believe me, Zelensky, again, cannot eventually go to have a leak without permission, at least from the, you know, London. I'm not talking about maybe CIA. So who's behind it? Okay. So it's obvious for everybody what's going on there. Same with the excursion to the Kursk area. Look, what's going to happen? Russia now, for the past period, destroyed over the 70 tanks. Majority of them are provided by Germany, Leopard, over the 100 armed vehicles and around 5,000 soldiers, which is a huge loss for this one. And moreover, despite the Ukrainian trying to prepare their defensive position, there is no way they're going to keep it. Within another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Russian military slowly but surely will prepare necessary forces and clean up entire area, because their main target was to go and capture the civilian. They shoot a lot of civilians right there. Later on, we're going to have my friend Stas, who is happened to be also a correspondent, and he's now in his school's career. He witnessed and he speaks to the people who succeeded to run out of being captured by the Ukrainian forces. And they have a, you know, huge information how they behave. And this is the 21st century, and the NATO and the West, who's sponsoring this NATO and commanding them what to do, telling them go and shoot civilians. They knew there is a family with a kid trying to escape shooting in a car. They're just shooting and killing everybody in that car. It's unbelievable what's happening in the Kursk region. And they thought that this will force the Russian population to protest against army and against the government. But guess what? It happened completely opposite. The all Russian population in every region organized and sent humanitarian help and organized and received the
refugees. And there's record people. Stay right there, Victor Boot. Yes, sir. We got to go to break. And it's also it's triggered record people signing up in the military. Back in a few minutes with our special journalist in Kursk. Stay with us. Well, Victor Boot and myself, and I think most of our audience have the same aims, not to have nuclear war, to have prosperity, to have friendship, to have economic exchange, and to work together. Russia is not expansionist. The people running the U.S. are, and they're attacking us. They're attacking the Russians. They are staging, obviously, with the funding and the stand down October 7th. And they've got more black swans planned and more crises. I want to ask Victor Boot before he leaves what he thinks the deep state might do now, because they failed to kill Trump. Also, we'll get into the incredible decree from 3 days ago of Putin. My response to that got like 20 million views. I also want to correct something. He said the debt clock was at $36 trillion. He was right, but I was reading a congressional report a few weeks ago saying it's really 38. They're just fudging the numbers. And there's articles out about that. So technically he's right. I wasn't trying to one-up him saying it was $2 trillion worse. It's just that the number you even see is watered down and very, very serious soon. Basically, all the tax money will be going to that. So we're being positioned for economic downfall. The Russians are not doing that. If the Russians were putting troops on our border and overthrew Mexico and organized it against us, I'd say go into Mexico and take them out. Well, Russia's not doing that. But now, because we put missiles on their border, they put submarines off Miami. So that's the globalists that are starting this, ladies and gentlemen. And so it's very, very serious. But for about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to Stas Chapsky, and he runs one of the most popular news sites on Telegram and a lot of other places, in Telegraph, and it's readovka.news. That's readovka.news. We'll put it on screen. I apologize for butchering the Russian names. I can barely speak English sometimes. I want Victor Boot to finish any points he was finishing when we hit the break. I interrupted him. And then I want him to introduce Stas Chapsky for us. Victor, please introduce him.
Well, Stas happened to be, journalist. And, he's my friend. And he now in Kursk and been there for the past 10 days. So he has a first-hand knowledge what really happened. And he interviewed those people who succeeded to escape when the Ukrainians entered and started capturing civilians as the hostages and transporting them to Ukraine for future exchanges. Can you believe this? And they knew that this is a innocent civilians. Like, you can't meet the children with their grandmas, with their grandpas, with their dads and moms trying to escape, just fighting, sitting in their car with almost nothing. And they stop this car, and those who try to go, they just shoot them and kill them. This is unbelievable. And the Western media keeping completely silent, just praising the brave Ukrainian soldiers who succeeded to go through the Russian defense. There was no defense. There was just a frontier guard with a very light arms there. And they've been still, resisting and put the fight. So they made everything possible, including the ultimate sacrifice, to make sure that Ukrainians don't succeed to break through and go to the nuclear power station of the Kursk region. This is number one. Second, they fail with their attempt to thinking that the Russia going to remove their troops from Donbas area and bring them into Kursk. What happened? If before, every day Russia would capture a village or one small town a day before the Kursk invasion, guess what? After Kursk invasion, now For the past 10 days, Russia capturing minimum three small towns every day. Every day. And the Ukrainian forces on Donbas region in the process of melting down. There is, they just abandoning position and just going up. And the Western media, again, focus, look only there. Don't look there. We're going to tell you this is the shining object. So they trying everything to distract attention to. And this is a agony of this regime. And I guess the best, let's start tell, because he's been talking to these people. He's been going to the front lines. He tells what really happened.
Stop. All right. So, sir, please, Stas, please tell us what you're witnessing.
Okay, thank you. So we should start with the fact that the situation is tense. And we see that every day, every morning, or somewhere else, Ukrainian troops are attacking civilian population. We need to understand that the majority of civilians have already left their places, but some of them who is here now every day can be attacked by Ukrainian soldiers just because they are Russian. You know that when I was driving along the roads leading to the district Suja, I saw a lot of burnout cars which were attacked by Ukrainian soldiers. They bombing civilian cars with the usual people who can't be dangerous for them. So most of people who survived of these attacks said that it is a nightmare for them because the Ukrainian soldiers shoot it in the back. And for them, it is unbelievable story.
Now, we're going to put a map up for folks that don't understand this, but this is the very same ground that the Nazis poured in through in 1942 in Barbarossa. And clearly what Mr. Boot said is they even admit it's true. The West even admits it's true, that the whole front line's collapsing. Putin doesn't want all of Ukraine, but he's almost got what he wants. There's, well, I guess, one more big city that's a crossroads control that he's almost gotten, and then, you know, secure that zone and then try to get a peace deal and have Ukraine not join NATO. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is such a cold-blooded move to just attack an unguarded area as a pure distraction. Victor was saying that this has backfired and unified the Russian people. I'm no rocket scientist, but if a foreign army drove hundreds of miles into the United States and started blowing up civilians, all Americans would turn against them. So I don't understand the thinking of NATO and what they thought this would do. What have you seen with the Russian resolve after the 14-day NATO invasion?
Well, as Alex, we've been, again, reiterating, as you said, the volunteers who signing up for military service, like, jumped five times. So the people said, what? Are you serious? You killing? You looting? You stealing whatever you're going possession of the people's homes because you kick them out of the homes? You raping the young woman there? There is a documented case. Several women being raped by the Ukrainian soldiers, and they killed the victims afterwards just to prevent. Most interesting stuff that the Russia captured a lot of the Ukrainian soldiers and the foreign mercenaries there, and they have their ProGo cameras on them. So we don't need even to question them. When they will just, reveal what they feel, it's enough for the war crime tribunal. Well, and these people, believe me, has no any human, sense left. Because, yeah, if you are soldier of the regular troop, you shouldn't behave like, ISIS. And that's exactly what I would say, the acting like the ISIS. Why? Because they have the same planning centers, same officers who've been helping, supplying ISIS, and they've been preparing, organizing the operation of this excursion in the Kursk region. This is very simple.
Exactly. Going back to Stas, who's got the big reporting group, you're on the ground. Are you seeing what Victor's witnessing or report on that for us, and then any other key points you'd like to make?
So personally, I think that the situation that Victor described is the same that I saw, because last week I have seen a 20-year-old girl who was raped by Ukrainian soldiers. You know, it is a disgusting case. I don't know how to say, how to explain my feelings. moreover, we see robbery, a lot of cases of robbery. Our shops of technical devices, sports equipment, and so on. The quantity of cases is uncountable for me now, because this invasion to our borders, to our districts, to our region, unbelievable for everyone. So,
from what I've known all along, I mean, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s son was over there fighting in Ukraine 2 years ago. There are a lot of mercenaries and foreign troops that have been organized, obviously. I mean, I don't believe for a minute that NATO didn't direct this. They tried to deny it like they've done Nord Stream pipeline. Can you speak, Stas, to the makeup of these forces? And then can Victor Boot speak to it?
I think that this pipeline now is the most, I don't know, Victor, could you help me please to explain? It is, I don't know how to say.
Are you saying it's a mixture of troops, or are there foreign troops mixed in? Are they just Ukrainian?
It is Ukrainian troops, but also people saw soldiers from Georgia and Poland.
Poland, that's what I've been...
Plus,
go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, plus there is was American private military company who is posting their own pictures in the Kursk region because they went there to control and to help Ukrainian secure occupied region. So this is a huge deal because they try to achieve this propaganda victory, trying to show and trying to bring opponents of the Russian and traitors of the Russian, trying to organize their so-called, you know, free democratic region of Russia and bringing all these scumbags who are stolen money, run out to Ukraine or to the West, and now trying to be, you know, opposition to Putin because they're going to have a good financing from the West. But guess what? This is a fake. This is going to fail. And believe me, within a certain period of time, Russian armed forces will encircle those who've been doing this, and it will not end there. Most important fact that this make Ukraine completely unable to do any negotiations with Russia. And this is the official position now of the Russia as a statement of the spokesman of the Kremlin, of our foreign minister, that there is no ground anymore to have any peace negotiation with the present regime in Kiev. So Russia now determined, and we're going to finish this conflict with the full victory of Russia liberating our ancient Russian land, which is now called Ukraine, from this scum of the Nazis to make a secure and peaceful existence in Europe, like did our grandfathers 80 years ago.
All right, Victor, I want to shift gears into the bigger issue and finish up with Putin's big decree. Stas, thank you so much for the time. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. People can find him at readovka.news. We'll put that back on screen. All right, in the limited time Victor, you're also busy, basically a governor in a major region. You're a busy man. You're very kind to come on with us. Obviously, the defense ministry has said this ups the ante with nuclear weapons. We know the West is moving missiles that carry nukes up to the border. There's more and more talk on the threat escalation by not just Russians but Western analysts that this is a insane escalation. That's why NATO is trying to deny they're part of it, just like Nord Stream. Germany's getting upset now, cutting off military aid to Ukraine. I see that as a very good sign. But in the whole area of nuclear weapons, what's your expert view on where we are now on the threat escalation ladder?
Look, the satanic forces who are controlling the West, trying all to provoke Russia to use tactical nukes on Ukraine, because they're thinking if they were going to provoke and send this excursion, maybe Russia decide and start reacting, you know, bombing the Ukraine. Maybe if Ukrainians are finished, they're going to throw in, Baltic states, small army, teeny ones, and then maybe Polish army, then maybe Romanian army. They don't care. And then will come forces, they're going to send Germans again. And the problem is, think of this. What kind of the leaders of those countries, like Baltic states or Romania or Ukraine, who are ready to commit suicide of their nation, who don't care about national interest because they're serving to the same satanic cult, which means they are part of it. And this is explained why we see this, you know, like these three small Baltic states who together, like hardly 3 million people all together, trying to make a threat to Russia. Are you serious? And Ukraine in their desperate move, trying to make, like today, they tried to send like 10 drones to attack Moscow. Every day they're trying to do everything possible with the help of American forces who are sending their, you know, AVAX planes for aiming for the Crimea breach, attacking the beaches in the Crimea because now it's the tourist season.
And let's not forget the attack on the Moscow theater, which was clearly Western sponsored.
Well, now it's all obvious, and it's obvious like a conflict in the Caucasus in the 90s was sponsored by the CIA. They've been guiding these Chechen terrorists who've been taking hostages and killing the hostages in the theater in Moscow. At the same time, soon we're going to celebrate also anniversary of the killing the school children, because they captured the school on the first day of opening the school, 1st of September, and trying to use them as the hostages. This is mind-blowing how these elites are so devil that they don't, for them there is no limit.
Absolutely. So talking about solutions, how do we end this war?
Well, look, the Russia will end this war. That's why we started this operation in Ukraine. This is no problem. The problem is now for the past 3 years, Ukraine exhausted their own military staff, reserve, and armament within 3-4 months of this conflict. All the rest is churning up all reserve that the ex-Warsaw Pact country has, Soviet standard military equipment. Now they run out of this. Then we know that the West are sending them tanks. They started with the Leopards, Challengers, then Abrams start coming. And guess what? They've been all burning up like anything else burning up during the war. So it doesn't help. Then they've been hoping for some wonder weapon like F-16. And guess what? They've got the F-16, but they're scared to send them near to the border because the Russian air defense will shoot them down. This is the problem. So it's obvious there is no any way Ukrainian can win this conflict, number one. Second, to hold the position. And after what they did in the Kursk region, there is no even any ground left for negotiations with them to have a peaceful settlement unless they surrender. And this is what they achieved with the last their excursion. And believe me, in Russia now, all people said, there's no way we have to do any peaceful negotiations, only surrender. And this is the position.
All right. And NATO's digging in for a 20-year war, but the West isn't going to put up with that now that Russia has been confirmed to have not been behind the Nord Stream destruction. Let's do 5 minutes the next hour. I know you're busy, and I've got to go to a meeting, but I want to talk about Trump, the Tippit assassination, your advice to Trump when we come back. But the 5 minutes we have till break, the big decree Monday by Vladimir Putin saying that Russia, with all its giant land, biggest country in the world, and all its resources, now bypassing, you know, regular rules, fast-tracking people that are being persecuted by the globalists, by the pedophiles, by the Satanists, by the neoliberals. Can you speak to this and what this signifies?
Well, first of all, the main focus was for the last 3 years, especially. There is a lot of the people from the Germany, from the France, from the Italy, from the Holland, from the England, and in the fact of matter, from United States, Canada, who are trying to move to Russia. But because of the bureaucratic problems, they facing a lot of difficulties to get their status in Russia. So this decree really removing all these hurdles on them to get the refugee status, to get the temporary residence initially for 3 months, which enable him to settle, to do the proper, you know, adjustment way they want to do what they want to do. And we, as the biggest country in the world, are interested to get people who share our Russian spiritual and traditional values, which is a 99% exactly the same, which is anybody, normal traditional family in America, in Canada, in France are sharing too. Maybe we're speaking on different languages, but believe me, we believe all in God. We believe that our kids should be growing, knowing only one dad and one man, and they know exactly if they are boys, they're boys. If they're, you know, girls, they're girls. And nobody has the right to confuse them. This is the main issue.
And let me just add something to this, because I follow up, you know, Europe and Russia. It's all very fascinating and important. It wasn't Russia or Putin that started this, if I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know more than I do, Victor Boot. Starting about 15 years ago, I began to see the articles where Germans having their children taken because they were Christian and didn't want transgenderism or Islam taught to them. They were running to Russia, and Russia was taking them, and they've been very successful. So it really started with Germans and Austrians and others fleeing, and so that got Russia thinking, and then foreigners kept calling for refuge, and that this was not generated by Russia. This was generated by outside need and nowhere to flee. Is that correct?
That's correct, because Russia now is the only one European country who is still, you know, recognize a normal family. He will still give a freedom to kids to grow normal kids without being exposed to this confusing, propaganda of LGBTQ and what else is now added. AAP, and every year it grows like an additional, you know, 3-4 letters of different weirdo, you know, practices. So this is a good sign to all humanity. You have a refuge land. You have the land where you can regroup, organize, and start your fight to liberating your own, you know, countries. Russia is there to protect entire humanity. And this is where we stand for. And this fight in Ukraine, this is the fight for the future of the civilization, for the future of the normal people who believing in God and believing in the normal family.
Victor, you mentioned that you had warned that they're going to try to kill Trump on the last interview. I'd forgotten that. They found the clip. They're pulling it out right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to play that clip and then give you a few minutes with any other warnings to Trump. You're a really, obviously, smart guy. But let's start getting into that now. Big picture, it's obvious trajectory. Try to put him in prison, remove him. The next thing is try to kill him. They failed again. Now he's had a plane emergency. So is his vice president pick. Clearly, they're going to try to kill Trump. What do you think he should do?
Well, he must, be extremely cautious. You know, first of all, mobilize everybody who understand what's going on. Okay, make sure that this election be not stolen again, because the Democratic Party gonna pull again the tricks, and they're gonna try to blame Russia. That Russia. In fact, Russia has no business to interfere into the American election. Problem is that the Soros Foundation gonna buy out the result they want to do. It's like in the last election. Who gonna believe that the Joe Biden, who spent all campaigning in the basement of his home in, you know, Delaware, gonna get 10 billion more votes than the, you know, Obama. It's unbelievable. So how you explain all these, you know, problems with this vote by mail? So this is now the time where American people gonna say enough is enough. We're not let the deep state steal the result of election.
That's right. Stay there.
This is very important.
Very important. We've got a 2-minute break, final segment. Really appreciate you joining us. Very thought-provoking and informative. We're going to come back with your prediction a few months ago and then get more of your analysis. Final segment with Victor Boot. Stay with me.
Very soon, they're going to even limit access population of United States, of the West, including Europe, to even a telegram. Why? Because it's too free. They can't control it. If they can't control it, they're going to ban it. Second point, they're going to try to really attempt on the life of the Trump, and they said, oh, sorry, you know, we killed him. Whoever come afterwards would be not even maybe strong enough or maybe stupid enough to understand what's really going on. And we can finally, after a couple of months of negotiation, reattach string to this and make our that replacement of the Trump, you know, good new puppet, because everybody has their families, they have their interests, they have their kids. Who knows, maybe they're going to get hostages of Trump family and put him to negotiate them. So in this level, I guess all American people have to do their maximum to really show to the global. If you mess up with this, it would be, you know, our strong response. Look, if people go to the street in America, the real America, who they are, it's over. It's 2 days and it's over. Forget about January 6th. It was a joke.
I was about to say, we got set up. He was supposed to speak in the Capitol. They set us up. If we were really trying to take over, we would have. And they know that. All right. So that is from the interview June 3rd. We're going to repost this to X. We're live right now. Victor Boot, you nailed it. So 3 minutes left. Any other warnings or predictions?
Well, you know, unfortunately, now it's very bumpy road ahead for America. And we're looking, look, Alex, you've been predicting for the past 10 years about the economical meltdown, what global is going to pull up their last, you know, trick. Look how the prices for the gold and the silver skyrocketing. The next step, it would be meltdown of the stock exchange. And then what? A shortage of the food, shortage of the medicine, all the stuff, because they're going to try to quell up the population, distract them from the political issues. But they just, you know, if you are hungry, you're going to look how you're going to feed up your family, put food on the table. This would be an issue. And these people going to play all possible tricks, including praying till the election, trying to show them some results, trying to convince them, yes, we need to spend money helping Ukraine to fight Russia into wind to protect liberty. What kind of liberty they're talking about? Liberty to for the all kind of the satanic cults? And this where the entire population of the world now realize we are facing a extreme danger in these satanic globalist elites who are trying to control the world. And this is a most hard period in this battle for the future of the humanity. So it's by determination of American people who did it as they did during the Revolutionary Wars, as they did it during the Civil War, to pull through, to determine the right from the wrong, and to see by their own eyes where the real and the proper way to exist in this planet in harmony, peace, and prosperity.
Victor Boot, I really appreciate you coming on. I really don't see you do any interviews, and I know you're a regional leader, governor. You know, you do local interviews, but we've searched for interviews with you. We're very honored that you come on this show. Why do you come on this show?
Well, Alex, I have a lot of respect to you because for all this year, when nobody believed, and they've been dubbed you as a conspiracy, you know, kink, and all your show was always causing irritation to the globalists. But you've been always talking the truth to American people. You've been raising the issue whether it's a poisoning of the food, whether it's a attempt to vaccinate the people, and you're always exposing them and leading them. So I guess that you are that voice of resistance who are helping American people to understand they're not alone.
Well, Victor, we're out of time, and I hope we can speak again and not die in nuclear war. God bless you and your family and the Russians and Americans, everybody else. Victor Boot, thank you so much. Well, we just had Victor Boot on, who's been a listener for 12 years. And he says he wants to come on and co-host with us anytime, so definitely be here. Because I find nothing untrue the man says. He comes off with a lot of credibility, and no wonder the CIA and British intelligence hates his guts. But we're trying to stop nuclear war together. Now, Daniel Estulin is another amazing brain, and he's the preeminent expert on the globalist and on the Bilderberg Group and the New World Order. And he usually gets on early. We're having a little bit of an issue connecting with him, but he should be joining us any minute now. But it's good that we have this little hangover into the next hour, because I need funds to fight this war. And all we deliver is victory thanks to your support and prayers. But I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. I need you to go to DrJonesNaturals.com. Those are our sponsors. Those are the great products. We had great sponsors over the years. Most of them got harassed and terrorized not being sponsors. So starting about 15 years ago, I started direct selling high-quality water filters, air filters, storable foods, books, films. I've always been selling my films and T-shirts, but we've been having to self-fund with you supporting us. So thank you. All this you see, all the success, all the amazing stories we bring is because of your support. Thank you. And I want to encourage those who have been supporting to keep supporting and thank them. And I want to encourage those specifically that have not been supporting. Hey, these are great products you need anyways. And it supports the broadcast. If you don't stand up now in the fight, I don't know what to say. I mean, you listen, you know this is going on, but you don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. You don't go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That doesn't sound like the smartest move. I'm not mad at you. I just ask you to consider to take action. These are great products. InfoWarsStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. Just start with DrJonesNaturals.com, the Nano Silver Toothpaste. Just start with the Next Level Foundational Energy. Just start with that. Start with the X2 or X3 at InfoWarsStore.com, or the InfoWars MD line of turmeric and more, and CBD gummies and more. All right, Daniel Estulin, best-selling author, incredible researcher, takes over now. We'll have live coverage tonight of the third night of the DNC as well, with live coverage at InfoWars.com/show, band.video, and Relox Jones on X. Daniel Estulin takes over. Daniel, good to have you. He's just now getting connected. He may be having some issues. Daniel, good to have you here. The show is yours.
How are you, Alex? Thanks so much for joining us.
Good. God bless.
I'm very honored to actually be hosting the Alex Jones episode of the InfoWars. I was wondering what to talk about today, because again, I'm hosting for an hour. I thought we could talk about the United States, but then I thought to myself, there's a lot of people out there who talk about the United States and America. So I thought of bringing international perspective. Now, one of the things that is kind of goes under the radar is Turkey. I don't know if you've noticed the Maduro, the Venezuelan dictator, they always talk about, you know, hiding their money in Turkey. And if something goes down wrong, if they lose power, they're going to hide in Turkey. Now, there's a reason why Turkey is such an important transit point for so many dictators and drug traffickers, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what I want to talk about today. Exactly and specifically how Turkey became the destination of choice for Latin American drug cartels. I've explained it many times in the past, the drugs are the lubricant of the world economy. It moves about $950 billion a year in cash. Just think about that number, $950 billion, actually I think it's more, okay, but at least $950 billion in cash. And so Turkey has become a new transit point for cocaine trafficking and Latin American traffickers. And this is demonstrated by the statements of experts and data on large quantities of drugs smuggled into the country. And so some experts believe that there are several logical explanations for this. Number one, the replacement of a large number of competent police officers in the country after the purge that began back in 2013 and continued after the failed coup d'etat in 2016. The war in Syria and the unstable situation in Iraq, geographical position of Turkey. And so Europe is Turkey's main consumer of hard drugs. For example, last year, the Turkish authorities carried out a large-scale operation, which is a part of the fight against drug trafficking in Europe, which involved investigators from 9 countries. The Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, Italy, Chile, Ecuador, Brazil. And as a result, $100 million in cash was seized, and 73 people involved in drug trafficking ring were arrested. Now, it may sound like a lot of people, actually, it's not. Okay, it's a drop in the bucket. And investigators were able to trace the illegal activities which originated in Latin America and spread from Turkey to Europe. And then in August 2023, the Turkish television channel TV24, they announced a record cocaine seizure in the Turkish port of Kocaeli. And so local authorities arrested a ship from Brazil. And as a result of a search, they found a cargo container with 540 kilograms of cocaine. And then in another shipment, they seized another 228 kilos of cocaine from Colombia in the port of Ambarli in Istanbul. And so the reality is that the Republic of Turkey after 2013, in other words, after an unprecedented corruption scandal that resulted in imprisonment for 733 high-ranking government officials, governors, mayors, police officers, members of the armed forces, it became a new transshipment point for illicit cocaine trafficking from Latin America. A lot is actually going on as far as the drug routes are concerned. Everyone thinks that the drugs go from Colombia up the coast to the United States. It's not. It's one of the many routes out there. The gangsters are always looking for ways to make money, and obviously the shorter the drug route, the more money you can make. And then on June 8th, 2020, the Colombian Anti-Drug Administration, they seized almost five tons of cocaine, which was supposed to be going to in two containers by sea from the Colombia port of Benaventura to Turkey. Carlos Olmes Trujillo, he was the late Colombian Minister of Defense, he issued a statement from the General Luis Ramirez, who was the head of the Colombian Police Narcotics Office, who said that during a cargo control in a port of Buenaventura, the authorities found cocaine in two containers that were mixed with synthetic rubber pollen and packed in 1,733 bags weighing 30 kilograms each. And so preliminary investigation showed that the drug war intended to be transported from the Pacific coast of Colombia to Central America and then to Turkey. And what is absolutely clear, Turkey is the new global drug transit country. And the fact that the Colombian Ministry of Defense has publicly designated Turkey as the destination of choice for the seized drugs is in itself very, very important. This country has never before been called a transit point or destination for cocaine. Meanwhile, according to the Defense Ministry, it was the largest maritime shipment of the seized substance in almost a year. Talking about 5 tons of cocaine, that's an incredibly large quantity for Turkey as a destination or transit country. As a kind of a point of comparison, the largest previous volume of drugs seized never exceeded a few hundred kilograms. And so drugs are distributed in various ways and means under the protection of the criminal organizations, with cocaine mainly coming from Latin American countries, Bolivia, Peru, and also Colombia, its main producers. Now, if you look at the statistics from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, they show that the cocaine tends to be shipped to Europe by sea or by air, often via the United States or Africa. And that said, it has, I think, to be obvious that without a market ready for distribution and consumption, without all the necessary connections, both internal and external, no drug trafficker in their right mind would attempt to import such an incredible, mind-boggling quantity of drugs into any countries, in this case Turkey. And obviously such transit is impossible without protection. And something has caused a change in the way that the system has operated until now. Or perhaps there is I guess you could say a strong new player who wants a piece of the global drug action. And so with the global systemic collapse upon us and this mind-boggling profits from the global drug business, I think, again, what we're seeing right now should be expected. I want to remind you that Bill Clinton, when he became president of the United States, the first phone call, usually the president of the United States immediately calls the prime minister of Canada. That's been the case for many, many decades. But in 1993, when Clinton became president of the United States, his first call went to Colombia, to the president of Colombia, and his request was somewhat unusual. The idea was to get Carlos Legner out of prison. That's part of the Medellin cartel, Pablo Escobar. Now, the idea is that Carlos Ferrer, who was the best at the time at reorganizing drug routes. And so the best drug route is Colombia, Venezuela, the Hispaniola Island, that's Haiti and Dominican Republic, and from there to New York. And so today, if you look at the structure, DEA and also FBI, they're of the opinion that the new player scheme should have strong political connection and protection at the highest levels of power in Turkey. Just think about that. So you have a government-run, state-run drug operation with tons of cocaine being shipped through Turkey to other parts of the world. Now, Turkish Interior Minister, his name is Süleyman Soylu, is the country's top security bureaucrat, is in fact suspected of being a Turkish top drug trafficker, organizing drug trafficking in cooperation with various gangster groups, using state officials as his henchmen and messengers. These are not your typical conspiracy theories. The accusations were made by a prestigious exiled Turkish journalist by the name of Said Sefa. And his findings, in fact, were based on statements he obtained from court documents that he posted on social media. And according to Sefa, the Interior Minister acts in concert with criminal organizations known as the Hakkari Group to direct, to control, and to dominate the national drug trafficking networks from the entry of the legal substances into the country, through the eastern border, to their shipment to Western Europe. And so in this network of drug trafficking, smuggling, organized crime entanglements, I'm going to give you a name. His name is Mehmet Kemal Agar. He's a nationalist politician, former minister, participant at one of the Bilderberg Group meetings. And he's believed to be a key figure advising Soylu on illegal schemes. For example, Agar helped facilitate a massive purge of the police officers in the police department beginning in 2014 to clear the way for Erdogan's clandestine business activities, hampered at times. Because you had good, honest representatives of Turkish police forces that would, you know, intercede, that would arrest, that would expose the secret and illegal operations by Erdogan's closest allies. So again, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone when you hear that Maduro, Venezuelan dictator, who just lost or stole the elections in Venezuela on the 28th of July, and his henchmen, Jorge Andrade Rodriguez, the Minister of Defense, Padrino Lopez, and others, basically made a lot of money, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in stolen profits from Venezuela. Needless to say, they want to hide their money in Turkey. And obviously, drugs are also part of the action. And so I repeat that most of the leadership, if you're talking about Turkey, the police department, you know, the former police officers, the departments were decimated by the Erdogan government, which, again, recruited individuals like Agar as a strong man to reshape the national police, which is the main law enforcement agency in Turkey, with almost 30,000, no, actually, I'm wrong, 300,000 officers as its command. And Agar, what he did, he's brought nationalists as well as these shady individuals with close ties to the mafia into the leadership of the Directorate General for Security, which is the National Police Department. And Nagar and his team are untouchables because they're under the protection of the Interior Ministry Soylu. And needless to say, all of this is done with close cooperation with Erdogan, the president of the country. So now the question is, what has changed and why? After the purge of law enforcement officers beginning in 2014, Turkey lost many competent specialists and significantly reduced its ability to intercept, for example, drug trafficking, opening the way for corrupt bureaucrats. Again, drugs is a very lucrative business, $950 billion in cash. That's what it moves globally. And so under the pretext of investigations or investigating possible conspiracies against the government, the Erdogan administration has carried out a series of firings, imprisoned thousands of people since 2013. Who are these people? Are these criminals? No, they're not. Prosecutors, judges, policemen. And these people are involved in the investigation of corruption cases, fight against radical groups, drug traffickers. And so the country is run by a drug trafficker, and you're trafficking billions of dollars worth of cocaine. You can't have honest prosecutors, judges, policemen. You got to put them away, kill them, send them to prison. And then after the 2016 coup d'etat attempt, which failed, the cooperation scheme with the United States Drug Enforcement Agency, DNA, also suffered a serious setback, especially since some of the DEA officials were directly involved in the coup against Erdogan. For example, the Turkish authorities arrested and imprisoned an individual by the name of Metin Topuz. He's a Turkish citizen and also the employee of the U.S. Consulate General in Istanbul, who also happened to work for the DA. So, what do the numbers say? It's worth noting that there's no information in open sources and studies from close sources that demonstrate the collusion of the Turkish authorities with drug traffickers. Again, these are closed studies. And if you look at the figures provided by the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, it's an acronym EMCCDA, as well as a lot of other information, official statements, public statements from Turkey, it's at the forefront against drug trafficking and its distribution in the country. Now, that's what they say. According to EMCCDA, in 2015, Turkish agents seized 12 tons of heroin, which is the largest amount of illegally circulating drugs, making Turkey the leading country in terms of the amount of heroin seized. And again, evidence that Turkey is a popular route for smuggling hard drugs into Europe is also confirmed by a 2020 global report issued by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. So a report based on 2018 data says that Turkey is part of the world's largest, I repeat, largest heroin trafficking route. Again, it's called the Balkan route. And it transports drugs from Turkey to Western and Central Europe, but I'll tell you about that a little bit later. And so according to the report, 95% of heroin and morphine seized in Eastern Europe and Southeastern Europe, it came from Turkey. In 2018, if I'm not mistaken, 0.7 tons of opium, 0.4 tons of morphine, 19 tons of heroin were seized in the country. It also counts for almost 10% of all opium seized in the world. And so it's no wonder that the international drug cartels have chosen Turkey as the logistics hub for drug trafficking. The main reason is the country's convenient, again, geographic location. Have a look at the map. You have a large number of seaports, instability in neighboring Syria and Iraq, incessant flows of refugees. And so as a result, established routes and networks of smuggling goods and people from Turkey to Europe appears over the years. And although Ankara, the Turkish capital, conducts its own joint international investigations, and also tries to combat, so to speak, drug trafficking, in no way does this or has this reduced the flow of drugs. And this is perhaps why Turkey is now seizing more substance from illicit drugs turnover than 7 years ago. And so this raises a very logical question. How many tons of drugs were not intercepted by security forces? You can say you're fighting drugs. Look, we've seized so many tons or so many kilos of drugs, 225, 300, 400 kilograms. But how many tons of drugs were not intercepted by security forces? On purpose, obviously. Because after all, it's clear that open and accessible information is only the tip of the iceberg, and one can only guess at the true scale of trafficking of banned substances. What is absolutely certain is this: the volume of illegal drug trafficking in Europe is estimated by the United Nations at $30 billion a year. Of course, Turkey is not the only country through which prohibited goods are transported to Europe, but the fact is that this is the most convenient, again, have a look at the map, an attractive and a place, route for such purposes is, again, it's beyond doubt. Again, this isn't something new. Drugs, or the drug routes, I should say, through the Balkans. We can talk about the 1980s and the 1990s. In 1994, Christian Science Monitor reported that disrupted by the Yugoslav conflict, drug trafficking across the Balkans is making a comeback as Albanian mafia carves out a new smuggling route to Western Europe, bypassing the peninsula's war zones. And so a great deal of revenue is thought to derive from the Albanian narco-terrorism, as well as associated gun-running, cross-border smuggling, Albania, Bulgaria, Kosovo, which is a province of Serbia. One of the main reasons for the war in Yugoslavia, remember that? It had nothing to do with democracy, human rights, Milosevic. It had to do with the fact that the shortest route to European markets was through Kosovo. So okay, let's follow the train of thought. We have a break coming up in less than a minute. Okay, previously transported to Western Europe through former Yugoslavia, you had heroin from Turkey, the Transcaucasus, and points further east is now being increasingly routed to Italy via the Black Sea, Albania, Bulgaria, Macedonia. And this is a development that has strengthened the Albanian mafia, which is now thought to control 70% of the illegal heroin markets in Germany and Switzerland. Now think about that. Again, if you listen to Interpol, they define this in the following way. We're going to go to a break. If left unchecked, this growing Albanian narco-terrorism could lead to a Colombian syndrome in the southern Balkans, which is exactly what the global elite want. They want conflict in Europe. Well, they destroy Europe. They need a war. They have a $4 quadrillion debt. How do you get rid of this? Alex Jones Show. I'm Daniel Ostrowin, hosting for Alex Jones. Thanks so much for joining us. We've talked about the Turkey and the drug routes and the role that Turkey is playing in the political, economic, social, financial situation, not only in Europe, but also in the United States. Not a lot of stuff is being said about Turkey. It's kind of, again, nobody's talking about this. And one of the things about being an American is like everything else is pretty far away. If you live in New York, New York is a universe, not even a city. It's not even a country. It's a universe. You live in New York, you're totally oblivious to what's going on anywhere else. China, Russia, it's like the moon. But for those of us who live in other countries, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Canada, whether it's Spain, whether it's Southeast Asia, you kind of look at the whole thing, at the entire world. You take things from a different perspective. And again, it's very important to understand that American policies are absolutely affected by what's going on in Turkey. And so I think it would be wise to understand Turkish, historically, I'd say, vital importance to America's and also the West's geopolitical interests. In fact, Turkish relationship to opium and to the United States, this isn't new. It goes back to the 19th century. In 1803, if I'm not mistaken, William Stewart, the first U.S. consul in Smyrna, which is a port in Turkey, he filed a report on the trade in that port. And he noted that, and I quote, "Our trade with the East and the West Indies and also South America will always afford us the means of supplying Turkey with opium, the principal articles of its consumption. And Stewart reported that Turkey was an important source of drugs and also of opium. Again, we're talking about over 200 years ago. That was 1803. By 1820s, or by the 1820s, Americans were shipping hundreds in the plural of chests of Turkish opium to Southeast Asia, to China. So guess who was making the money? And then a November 2016 report by the Paris Bay Geopolitical Observatory on drugs. And according to this report, the amount of drugs originating from Afghanistan was worth nearly $40 billion in the final stage. Let me put this number in perspective. That's $40 billion of heroin on the street, whether it's on the streets of Philadelphia, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Miami, it doesn't matter. And that's more than Afghanistan's gross domestic product, which is only $35 billion. Think of what $40 billion does to destroying families, cities, and lives of people. So you're going to tell me that the Democratic or the Republican congressmen and senators and lawmakers, they don't know this? Of course they do. The idea is to destroy the country. Because if you can destroy the country, if you can separate the United States, as they did with the Soviet Union, as they did with the Yugoslavia, they've done with other countries, they want to do the same thing to the United States. The idea is to destroy the country. I'm not talking so much about Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I'm talking about the elite, the global liberal banking financiers, because the only way they can save their model, their parasitical model based on infinite growth, is to destroy the United States and live at the expense of, because they're parasites. Again, understand, we're talking about $40 billion worth of hard drugs on the street. And so, according to the United States State Department's most recent annual International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, you can go online and see it for yourselves. A lot of this stuff is free. You don't have to pay for it. Go to the United States State Department, go to their site, click on all these reports. All that stuff is there, just a question of actually going and clicking and reading. International Narcotics Control Strategy Report. Turkish position astride the main overland trade route between Asia and Europe, that's according to the U.S. State Department, makes it a significant transit point for narcotics. And so the country serves as a kind of a land bridge for how much? How about 60 tons a year of drugs? That's 3/4 of the world's heroin transported for use in Western Europe, which is a primary victim of the drug war. Where does it come from? It comes from Afghanistan. Is the United States interested in destroying Western Europe? Absolutely, because it's the main competitor. When talking about technology, it's not Russia, it's not China, it's not Saudi Arabia, it's Western Europe. And so the idea of the United States working together with Turkey to destroy Western Europe. Now, you're not going to read about this in Wall Street Journal. But that's the case. And so the key component in Turkey's part of this global drug trade, again, is its geography. Now, Turkey is one of the closest American allies, as well as one of the key members of the NATO alliance. It's actually the second strongest army within the NATO alliance after the United States. And it occupies a unique place amongst the modern nation states because, again, it lies, if you look at the geography, at the crossroads, not only between Europe and Asia, but also between the former Soviet Union and the Middle East. And it's also the only Middle Eastern nation that counted Israel as a close ally and corroborated. Now, you can say that, you know, Erdogan is, you know, he's criticizing Netanyahu. That's not the case. They're allies. They've always been allies. Now, again, if we go back to what I said before the break, to the Balkan route, if you look at the way drugs are moved globally, again, all this information is available. You can go to the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency's, their reports. It's all there. Educate yourself. That's what Alex Jones does. He helps you to understand. We need you to be educated. We need you to understand. Because we need the numbers to fight these people. And so if you look at the Balkan route, it's divided into three sub-routes. But Turkey is always the key player in all of these routes. So you have the southern route, for example, which runs through Turkey, Greece, Albania, and Italy. You have the central route, and that goes, again, through Turkey, Bulgaria, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia and Serbia, Montenegro, Croatia, Slovenia, Bosnia. You have Italy and Austria. And then you have the northern route, which goes, again, Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, to Austria, to Hungary, Czech Republic, Poland, and Germany. And if you look at the statistics, heroin trafficking in Turkey produces $48 billion worth of business. Are you going to tell me that Erdogan is going to say no to this kind of... You can't do that. You can't do that. It's one of the reasons you cannot eliminate or eradicate the drug trade. You can talk about the war on drugs. Was the United States successful in their war on drugs? No, right? Because if you think you can eliminate $950 billion in cash and replace it with something else, the entire global economy, that's not an exaggeration, the entire global economy will collapse onto itself before we finish the show. And so needless to say, the Turkish government is very much in on the action, just like the American government is very much in on the action. And again, we're talking about billions of dollars. And much of this money, again, it passed through OPEC accounts of some of the world's most criminal banks. Now, how many times have we seen in the media they talk about Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC? That's the Rothschild Bank. I think they were caught and they had to pay a fine of $2 billion, if I'm not mistaken. It's part of doing business, no big deal. What did HSBC involved in 200 years ago? The same thing they're doing right now. Opium in China. Coutts Bank, that's Queen of England's when she was alive. That was her private bank. They were caught laundering $7 million. It's not a lot of money, but that's not the point. How about Wachovia back in 2007? Wachovia today is Wells Fargo. They were caught laundering $368 billion, if I'm not mistaken. $368 billion of the Mexican cartel's money. And the president of the bank, when he was caught, came out and said, I don't know what happened. And of course, we believed him. Because when I go to the bank with $10,000 in cash, I need to fill out, I don't know how many hundreds of pieces of paper to explain where did I get the money from. But when you launder $368 billion, you got a slap on the wrist. You can't take that money out of circulation because the entire global economy will collapse onto itself. Remember way back when you had the BCCI bank? So they laundered most of that money initially through there. And so Turkey, again, is playing a leading role in going after this multi-billion dollar drug network responsible for trafficking heroin from Afghanistan. And in the process, Turkey also serves as a kind of a key flank against the empire builders' new opium wars. And so, according to knowledgeable military sources, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, financially supported by the European oligarchs, well, they've been linked to a massive conspiracy to overthrow Erdogan government in Turkey. And so you have a nation state like Turkey, which is the only constitutionally secular nation in the Islamic world, may in fact prove to be a bulwark against both radical Islam on the one hand and also global rule by financier oligarchy on the other. But again, if you historically speaking, Turkey occupies a unique position as far as this global deep state is concerned. And their purpose is to perpetuate the secret Sykes-Picot Agreement, which was drafted back in 1916 by the soon-to-be victors of World War I, which was France on the one hand and the British Empire on the other. And so they divided up the Ottoman Empire between them and the kind of spoils of war, with Britain controlling Iraq and Jordan and Palestine, and France ruling Syria and Lebanon. And their aim, going back to 1916, has been to prevent at all costs the economic development of a region that is both at the crossroads of Europe and Asia, and also of Eurasia and Africa. So again, Turkey is very important, and geography plays a very important role in any conflict. And so their intent is, again, to maintain it as a kind of a trigger for global war by manipulating. You have ethnic, you have religious, you have tribal groups, and you keep manipulating them one against the other, and them against the central government. They do the same thing, same modus operandi. I asked a friend of mine, although I haven't seen him for a while, he works for the CIA. I said to him, why do you guys always do the same thing all the time? He said, because it works and it's cheap. Why change? Absolutely true. It works. So you do the same thing. You manipulate all the groups one against the other. You do the same thing in Africa. You do the same thing in Southeast Asia. You do the same thing in the Middle East. You do the same thing in Latin America. Because what the deep state is after is a modern form of feudal anarchy. And this feudal anarchy, this clanism, I guess you could call it, is a way of understanding life that goes beyond the concepts of nation states, of governments, of law and order. And as an example of what I'm talking about, this clanism, this feudal anarchy, we could look at Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, which is a very fertile area, you know, again, ideally suited to what? To growing opium. There's a guy by the name of Rifat Assad, the uncle of Syrian President Bashar Assad. Do you think these people are not in on the action? Of course they're all in on the action. It's one of the privileges of being a president of a country. You could steal. Some steal more, some steal less. Some steal everything, such as the case of Maduro government in Venezuela, which is why the country is so poor. An average salary in Venezuela is about $3 a month. They made $2 trillion they sold between 1998 and 2024. Venezuela sold $2 trillion in oil. Where's the money? It's all gone. They stole it. In any case, Rifat Assad is the uncle of Syrian President Bashar Assad and is widely known to have been in charge of Syria's narcotics enterprise. And he was the honcho, the supremo of the Bekaa Valley massive opium industry. You don't think the CIA knew? Of course they do, because Rifat was, in fact, a CIA asset. And he was being groomed to succeed his elder brother to become the Syrian president. And this guy was extremely close to somebody by the name of Mansour al-Kassar, a Syrian drug dealer, weapons dealer, very close to the Americans, very close to the British. Al-Kassar was very close, aligned to, remember Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North? Well, they were buddies. You're not going to see Washington Post talk about this. I wonder why. And so Oliver North was George H.W. Bush's point man in drug smuggling operation for the Contras in El Salvador in the 1980s. Remember that? And so when you had the influx of 30,000 Syrian troops to Lebanon in the late 80s, it had as much to do with protecting the opium fields as with separating the warring factions. And at the time, it was estimated that up to $2 billion in protection money was paid annually by dope plantation operations to Syrian occupation forces. And in this sense, again, Turkey, via drug trafficking, is also closely linked to Kurdistan, to Syria, and obviously to the United States. And so since the 1980s, again, this isn't new, this is really old, the CIA had a secret deal in place to protect the Syrian drug pipeline. Because again, drugs are a lubricant of the global economy. And this was done again vis-a-vis promises that the Syrians, led at the time by Al-Qassar, would help to get American hostages released from captivity in Lebanon back in the 1980s. And so one agreement involved what's called the CIA-1 operation, because again, in return, the agency protected the Syrian Becca drug flow from Lebanon through the airports in Frankfurt, Germany, and also from there into the United States. So all of you who are thinking that the DEA, the CIA, they're fighting, no, they're not. Drug Enforcement Agency. Think about the meaning of the acronym, Drug Enforcement Agency. They're not there to get rid of the bad guys. They're there to make sure that the little guys don't interfere in the big operations. It's a lubricant of global economy, which means the big guys protect it. Where does the money go? That's one of the things that people don't seem to understand a lot. Alex talked about this quite a bit. So imagine this. You're a Taliban, okay, dressed in slippers. You have a towel on your head. You have a bed sheet for clothes. Okay, you have a bag of cocaine or whatever it is that you have. What do you do with that? How do you turn that into money? How do you turn that money into guns? What are you going to do? Buried under a tree? You're going to have a tree of drugs growing? No. That money needs to be laundered. You need the distribution. And you need to launder the profits through where you're going to launder it through. A bank in Afghanistan? No, you're going to do it through Wall Street. You're going to do it through the world's biggest banks, which are based where? In Switzerland, in England, in the United States. And so the agency is talking about the CIA. The financial share of the covert operations was run through initially BCCI's Black Network, which is a secret kind of a banking institution within the bank itself. And if you look at the numbers, if you look at the history of BCCI, it's telling that the CIA, the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, the NSC, the National Security Council, they all used BCCI as their own private bank, sending billions of dollars in covert funding and weapons to organizations and countries with which the United States for years was engaged in endless conflict. Most notably, we're talking about the Mujahideen. Remember those in Afghanistan? Which over time evolved into Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Pakistan's EC, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the government of Iran. So those of you who think that, you know, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. Divide everything in two. That's what they do on purpose. They make you divide in two and make you choose sides. Doesn't work like that in the real world. So this Black Network was a kind of a natural outgrowth of BCCI's dubious, and I guess you could call it criminal associations. Because its original purpose was to do what? To pay bribes, intimidate authorities, quash investigations. But then sometime in the early 1980s, the Black Network began running its own drugs, weapons, currency deals. Who was doing it in the United States? Poppy Bush. He was in charge of the operation. And so today, the fabulous, I guess that's the best way to describe it, spoils of the drug trade are one of the main unspoken reasons for the conflict we're seeing right now in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. Because whoever holds the fertile Becca Valley holds the ticket to power. And in fact, the entry of groups like, for example, Hezbollah into the narcotics trafficking business is, again, is largely a factor of border insecurity. And let's not forget Africa, which has become a particularly lucrative means of terrorist financing through drugs. You could talk about ISIS, you could talk about Boko Haram, you could talk about Al-Qaeda. Hundreds of millions, many hundreds of millions of dollars of drug money. They go into the coffers of world's most dangerous, bloodthirsty terror organizations. You're going to tell me that the CIA doesn't know anything about this, that the State Department is unaware of that? Of course they are. But what we're seeing right now globally is reorganization of the drug routes. But again, that's a story for another day. I want to go back to Venezuela momentarily. We only have about 2.5 minutes left. I think what a lot of people, again, don't understand is that Venezuelan government and the United States government work together. I know it's not something that the Venezuelans who are against Maduro government want to hear, but this is the case. Because if you're the United States government, there's a lot of people talking, we need to invade Venezuela, we need to bring democracy back. These people are insane. Why would they do that? When you have a president like Nicolas Maduro, and you want to take over a country, the best way to do this, and let this guy destroy absolutely everything. Venezuela is an amazing country. It is so beautiful, so wealthy, so rich in natural resources. Why invade? Let this guy destroy the entire country. Just walk in and take everything over for pennies. Nothing is eternal. So they're not going to invade. Ever, now or ever, because that's the best way. How are you going to take over a country? If you invade, you're going to have the entire country rise up against the invader for the most part. You're going to have sabotage, you have terror cells, you're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. It's going to be expensive. The United States was already involved in half of the global conflicts. Why would you do that? Let them destroy themselves, and they come in and just buy everything for pennies. The country has already been destroyed. Again, as I said before, between 1998, they're talking about American imperialism, talking about blockade. Venezuela sold $2 trillion, think about that amount of money, in oil between 1998 and today. And to that, we can add, Venezuela has 15 of the 17 most important minerals in the world. And if you add everything else, we're talking about maybe $5, $6, $7, $8 trillion worth of wealth. Where is the money? It's in the offshore accounts. It's in Switzerland, it's in the United States, it's in England. It's all over the place. Do they know where the money is? Of course they do. So don't expect an invasion, but do understand how things work. Before we go, we have about 20 seconds left. I want you guys to know, we also need help. Join our free channel. This is my channel, Daniel Eschelin Official on YouTube. Okay, Daniel Eschelin Official. I have amazing videos that explain to you how things work from a very different conceptual perspective. Daniel Eschelin Official.